For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
And it's a bill that is pushed by Democrats that essentially says that religious institutions should be forced to violate their own religious precepts in order to maintain, quote unquote, equal treatment for LGBT people. So you have to have a priest who's transgender in your church. The Equality Act basically says that if you're a religious business owner, you will now be mandated in any business that you are, including religious businesses. You will be mandated to abide by social leftist strictures. It goes even further than the recent Supreme Court case, which declared that in places of employment, the Civil Rights Act protects transgender people. It actually, because there's still ministerial exceptions and religious school exceptions, the Equality Act doesn't do any of that. Okay, so President Trump was going after Joe Biden and his anti-religious agenda. And while he was riffing, he said that Joe Biden was going to hurt God. And now that really is not a particularly revealing gaffe. Like, I don't think that Trump actually thinks that Joe Biden is going to start hurling spears at God or something, or that if he did, it would be particularly effective. It's just Trump riffing, because that's what Trump does. So here's Trump doing this yesterday, got all sorts of attention.
You will have a crash in the markets because he's going to double and triple your taxes. He's going to do things that nobody ever would ever think even possible because he's following the radical left agenda. Take away your guns, destroy your Second Amendment. No religion, no anything. Hurt the Bible, hurt God. He's against God, he's against guns. He's against energy, our kind of energy.
Okay, so obviously Trump is riffing there, and it's a very crude way of saying that his agenda is anti-religious, which, again, is true. And Barack Obama's agenda was also anti-religious. Barack Obama was the man who campaigned in 2008 telling his donors in San Francisco that only bitter clingers clinging to God and guns and religion were the people who were standing between him and victory. So that is not, you know, it's not a major gaffe, seriously. Like, I guess there's the implication that Trump, because he's not a particularly religious person, he's saying things that religious people would never say. Like, as a religious person, I would never say that someone is capable of hurting God. God ain't capable of being hurt. If you're a religious person, you're like, well, that's weird because God is the master of the universe and the creator of all things. So I'm pretty sure that Joe Biden can't hurt him. Still, is that like a major gaffe? No, it's mildly revealing of the fact that Trump doesn't know much about religion, which is true. It's mildly revealing of the fact that Trump speaks in like very dumbed down terms, which of course is true. But is it a seriously revealing thing? Not really. Big banner headline over on Drudge. Trump claims God on his side. Okay, so, honestly, that's actually not what he claimed. What he claimed is that Joe Biden opposes religious people, which is kind of true. Okay, I think that's what he's saying. I don't think that Donald Trump is sitting there going, God loves me and God hates Joe Biden. I don't think that is actually the case. And the media immediately swivel into, how dare Trump say this about a practicing Catholic? Never mind the fact that there are Catholic priests who will not give communion to Joe Biden because he is pro-abortion now. And Joe Biden has switched his positions on abortion several times, moving ever more in the pro-abortion direction. He's a practicing Catholic the way that Nancy Pelosi is a practicing Catholic, which is to say they violate religious scripture on a fairly regular basis. But the media's angle was, how dare Trump say something like, it was a big revealing gaffe for Trump. Gaffe number two is Trump pronouncing Thailand, the country, Thailand. So he corrects himself pretty much immediately. Doesn't matter. This is the gaffe that spawns 1,000 memes because it's funny. I mean, let's face it. Calling Thailand Thailand is kind of hilarious. So here's the president yesterday. Shortly after, so first of all, I want, where in the world is Donald Trump? And it's like, where in the world is Donald J. Trump? Is Carmen Sandy? I just want to hear him pronounce country names. I'm very into it right now. I will admit that between Yosemite and also Thailand, it's fun. Here's President Trump gaffing on Thailand yesterday.
In 2017, Whirlpool won relief from the ITC once again, once more. Your foreign competitors moved their factories to prevent a level playing field. And to avoid liability, shifting production to Thailand and to Vietnam. Thailand and Vietnam, two places that I like their leaders very much. They're very nice to us. Do they take advantage of the United States?
So he corrects it right away,
much,
right?
Anymore.
Like, he corrects it right away. My three favorite countries, Thailand, China, Djibouti. And I will admit, Thailand sounds a lot more fun than Thailand. It does. And it sounds, frankly, kind of like a strip club in Kansas City, Thailand. Hey, 1,000 beautiful women and one ugly one, right? And Donald Trump out front holding one of those weird signs and spinning it. Thailand, come right in. Thailand, it's amazing. Right down in the center of Thailand, it's where the stage is, Thailand. But Okay, so it makes for good comedy, but is that like a revealing gaffe? No, you just mispronounced Thailand. Like, who cares? Who cares? And that didn't stop people online. There was like a big argument last night on Twitter about the proper pronunciation of Thailand because everything is stupid. Everything's unbelievably stupid. So Dinesh D'Souza, who I like, I mean, I like Dinesh, but Dinesh did like a whole thread about how the proper way to pronounce Thailand is Thailand if you're Australian or British. So I actually looked up Boris Johnson saying Thailand, and he says Thailand. He doesn't say Thailand, just for the record. But with all of that said, is that like a revealing gaffe? Of course that's not a revealing gaffe. Unless you're revealing a thigh in Thailand. But is that like a super revealing gaffe? Of course that's not a revealing gaffe. It's just silly. Okay, like it's funny, and it's silly, and it makes for good late-night political comedy. And that's pretty much it. Stormy Daniels performing in Thailand. Unbelievable. Karen McDougal. But again, the media covered this thing like wall-to-wall yesterday. It was like a wall-to-wall coverage in the media yesterday. So again, we're getting all of these quote-unquote gaffes from Trump, and they're basically innocuous or mild exaggerations, or like none of these are world-shaking in their import. And we saw the same thing over the past 48 hours, 72 hours, after Trump did that interview with Jonathan Swan. There were some real mistakes in that interview. I talked about them on Monday's show. But one of those things that he said is he was talking about the levels of death in the United States, and he said it is what it is, meaning I can't control how many people die from a disease, which is true. And reporters have been all over him for that. How could he say it is what it is? What's he supposed to say? It is what it isn't? I mean, when a disease is running rampant through a community and you're doing the best you can, like, he should have expressed more sympathy. So it's a political gaffe in that way, I suppose. It reveals that he has a lack of empathy, if that's a thing that you think is super important. But and I guess it's important. But you know, when he says it is what it is, and that's treated like a major story, it's still being treated like a major story like 5 days later. Here was a reporter yesterday going after Trump over that yesterday.
He said, that's true, and it is what it is. You used the words, it is what it is. Is that the message?
If you look at the statement I made right after that, because if you look at...
It is what it is, but that doesn't mean we aren't doing everything we can.
Yeah, and I said something after that, too.
What message?
So the message that I have is very simple. Nobody can do what I've done in terms of all of the things that we're doing to combat this horrible disease that never should have been sent to us.
Okay, so he's not wrong about any of this, but the media covered this stuff wall to wall. The reason that I'm focusing in on this is because this is what Trump is up against. He'll make a fairly innocuous gaffe, and the media will blow it all out of proportion. Meanwhile, Joe Biden will make gaffes that go directly to the heart of his campaign, and the media will simply overlook them. I mean, just completely overlook them. We'll get to Joe Biden's gaffes in just 1 second, because to gaffe a minute around here. Again, these debates are going to be, as I've said before, the Swedish Chef versus Chewbacca. It's just going to be Trump going, and Joe Biden going, the best and setting himself on fire. I mean, it'll be fun, I guess, if that's your thing. Coming up, we'll talk about Joe Biden's gaffes, which are not nearly as innocuous as Thailand. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
There's a solution to hunger and poverty for millions. Farming families in developing nations can access food and flatten the curve on environmental harm. Nonprofit Trees for the Future is training farming communities to rethink how they farm using trees. Farmers are improving their nutrition and income so they can weather any storm. Learn more at trees.org/radio. That's TREES.org/radio. This message is sponsored by Trees for the Future.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
132 U.S. Tax Shield, 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
There's a solution to hunger and poverty for millions. Farming families in developing nations can access food and flatten the curve on environmental harm. Nonprofit Trees for the Future is training farming communities to rethink how they farm using trees. Farmers are improving their nutrition and income so they can weather any storm. Learn more at trees.org/radio. That's TREES.org/radio. This message is sponsored by Trees for the Future.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden makes actual gaffes that reveal things about him, and the media just pretend they never existed. So yesterday, Joe Biden suggested that black people are not diverse like Latino people. And again, he has said this, like, repeatedly. Okay, they're treating this as though this was a weird outlier, that it was just a brain fart from Biden. And let's be real, that man has a very flatulent brain. There's a lot of farts coming out of that brain, a lot of brain farts. And it could enough methane to choke a horse. In any case, this was not a brain fart. This is something that Biden has been saying repeatedly for years, which is that black people all think the same, according to Joe Biden. And he said it again just a few weeks ago when he suggested that you ain't black if you don't vote for Joe Biden. And then he said it a couple of days ago to the National Association of Black Journalists when he suggested that black people aren't diverse like Latino people, which is a very weird take. I mean, and kind of a racist take, that your skin color defines how you vote. By the way, he doubled down on this yesterday. Like, there was a second clip of him saying exactly the same thing later in the day. It never went around because the media wanted to pretend that this is a brain fart rather than a key component of his entire campaign. He later that day, he said it again. He said black community does not think in diverse fashion as opposed to the Latino community coming from all different places, a lot of diversity within the Latino community, which is wild. I will acknowledge that members of the media actually kind of agree with Joe Biden. They do. This is why they speak of the black community as a monolith. It's also why the media have overtly stated that black should be capitalized in media coverage while white should not be, because black people are not diverse. They share a common history, which is a weird thing because Africa is incredibly diverse. Black Americans don't have a ton in common. I mean, most black Americans are centuries removed from Africa. Right? I mean, they're African Americans. Their ancestors of ancestors came from Africa, not voluntarily, obviously, to the United States. The black community is incredibly diverse. But the line of the media is that all black people are basically the same, and Joe Biden mirrors that. Here he was a couple of days ago saying that.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
Unlike the black community, where everybody thinks the same. Thanks, old Joe. Okay, so he then doubled down on that later in the day, and nobody paid attention to it. And then he came out, and so the entire media went into full spin mode. The Washington Post had a fact check in which they suggested that Joe Biden had not said what he said. Not kidding. They did a full fact check because Trump said he's saying all black people think alike. And the Washington Post was like, he didn't say that. He just meant like in terms of point of origin, which of course is not what he said at all. And then Joe Biden stepped on them. He put out a statement via Twitter saying, early today, I made some comments about diversity in the African-American and Latino communities that I want to clarify. In no way did I mean to suggest the African-American community is a monolith, not by identity, not on issues, not at all. Throughout my career, I've witnessed the diversity of thought, background, and sentiment within the African-American community. It's this diversity that makes our workplaces, communities, and country a better place. My commitment to you is this. I will always listen. I will never stop fighting for the African-American community. I will never stop fighting for a more equitable future. And then he put out an ad with John Lewis, which is like his get-out-of-jail-free card, is that he was friendly with John Lewis. So, okay, that's absolutely what he said. And he has said it repeatedly, that he thinks that all black people think the same. And that is not... The gaffe is revealing, because again, the gaffe strips away the veneer of Joe Biden thinks of black people as individuals. He doesn't really. Okay, so how did the media cover this? So we've talked about how the media covered Thailand, how the media covered Hurt God. How did the media cover Joe Biden saying all black people think the same? Listen to the headlines. It wasn't that they covered the original Biden comments accurately and then provided cover when Biden backtracked. They didn't even cover the original headline accurately. They didn't. Like, here was Politico's headline about that comment, right? The one where he says that all black people think the same. Politico's headline was this, quote, Joe Biden contrasted the black and Latino communities in remarks on Wednesday, stating that the latter is incredibly diverse. Oh, is that the story? Is that the story? That headline is designed to not convey information. You can tell when the media are covering for somebody, when the media decides to cover the story in such a way that you have less information from the headline than you would listening to the original quote. That is a headline deliberately designed to obscure information. Joe Biden contrasted the black and Latino communities in remarks on Wednesday. So that sounds like, I mean, that's completely innocuous, right? I mean, just he contrasted them. And then they didn't focus in on what he said about the black community, which is that they are not diverse. They focus in on him saying the Latino community is diverse. So if you read that headline, you would come away with, oh, that sounds uncontroversial. I mean, that's an incredible headline, an incredible headline. And the media response to this is patently crazy. I mean, Joe Scarborough said on MSNBC, here's how Scarborough covered it, quote, Biden made that argument inartfully. He didn't need to include the African-American community in the discussion, but he does seem to recognize the Latino community is not one giant monolithic community. So by putting the focus on what he said about Latinos, you completely ignore what he said about African-Americans. That's the goal of the media coverage here. Okay, on CNN, the chyron, as they were discussing this issue, is not Biden insults black community as monolithic. The chyron was, a direct quote, this is a direct quote from CNN chyron, Trump claims Biden insulted black community. Oh, Trump claimed it. You see, the real story is Republicans pouncing. As always, when a Democrat does something bad, as my friend Andrew Klavan points out, the story is Republicans pouncing. When Republicans do something bad, the story is Republicans did something bad. In fact, even when Republicans don't do something bad, the story is Republicans did something bad. It's amazing. Here was the Associated Press's headline on this. You ready? Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden faces new scrutiny over how he discusses race and ethnicity after drawing distinctions between black and Hispanic populations in the United States. Oh, is that what happened? He just drew some distinctions, guys. And the story is that he drew scrutiny, you see. The story is Republicans pouncing. It's the scrutiny that's the story, not the fact that he said that black people are not diverse, but Latino people are diverse. No, the story is everybody pouncing. That's the big story. I mean, the media are so far in the tank for Biden, it is... I know that it's an old news thing at this point, but it is a constant source of astonishment that they are so willing to bend over backwards in order to push this agenda. It's really incredible. It truly is amazing. And meanwhile, Joe Biden continues to gaffe on policy. Again, his gaffes on policy are pretty telling because they explain where he's going to be. So yesterday, Joe Biden was asked about his policy on China, how he was going to stop China from engaging in intellectual property theft and threatening its neighbors. He was asked this by Errol Barnett. His answer was, I'm going to go to the UN, which... in any normal world would be a headline because China has a veto at the UN. Okay, China is never going to allow anything to happen at the UN. Saying you're going to go to the UN to stop China is like saying that you're going to go to Al Capone to stop bootlegging. That's not the way this works. Here was Joe Biden saying a stupid thing, as always.
You may recall I was the first one to say...
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge in the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Redding area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
There's a better shot that Trump is going to win, and it's hard not to see this in an extraordinarily political light. Joe Biden keeps saying that he wants more lockdowns. So yesterday, Joe Biden came out. He said that if he were president, he would bring back the COVID lockdowns, which is patently crazy. It's crazy. Where is he going to bring them back? New York? They never stopped being locked down in New York. And New York's caseload is basically zero at this point. New Jersey has a close to zero caseload. In places where they did lockdown and never stopped the lockdown, in Massachusetts, they're seeing an uptick anyway. Lockdowns are not a solution. All lockdowns are our delay tactics. Here is Joe Biden, though, saying that his easy solution would be to continue to lock down the American economy forever. Again, the political incentive structure here is completely screwy. The political incentive structure is for politicians to deliberately destroy individual lives and then bail people out through bucks that we do not have in order to say that they are protecting you, which is totally, it's crazy. I mean, they're destroying thousands upon thousands of individual businesses every single month. Here is Joe Biden, though, promoting lockdown again.
So based on what you see now, would you roll back the reopenings?
I'm not going to speculate on that because I don't know
what
it's going to be. What I see now, I think we are. If I were president today, I would roll back the reopenings in a number of places. Because look, masks and social distancing make a gigantic difference in terms of the spread of this disease.
He would roll back openings in which places would he roll them back? Florida, Texas, Arizona, they're already seeing the downshift. Where are the reopenings that he's talking about? Okay, none of this makes any sense, but the political incentive structure is aligned. So you push the lockdowns, you claim you're trying to save lives, and oh, by the way, if it ruins the economy and then we need massive government bailouts, great. The second prong of this attack is being promoted by Nancy Pelosi. So right now, Republicans have basically agreed with Democrats that we are going to spend an awful lot of money because we are forcing people into bankruptcy, we are forcing people into lockdown, and if you can't work, then you can't make money. And so Republicans, for the first time in my lifetime, basically in widespread fashion, agree that some sort of government intervention is necessary in the economy in order to ensure that people don't go completely without. So that means that the Republicans were willing to basically extend in clean fashion unemployment insurance for a couple more months at $600 per week. Originally, they proposed a couple hundred bucks a week because they don't want to pay people to stay home. It turns out that if we pay everybody through January $600 a week, 4 out of 5 American workers would actually be making more, I believe the statistic was, 4 out of 5 American workers currently unemployed would be making more on unemployment than they would be if they went back to work. If you continue this through January, Democrats are pushing for that. Democrats are also pushing for spending on every area of American life. They want $3.4 trillion more dollars spent this month. By the way, they have not even fully spent all the money that was sent to the states in the last tranche of spending. And Republicans are going along with all this. Republicans have caved on a lot of the state and local funding, which they should not. The federal government is not responsible for bailing out crappy government contracts created by California and New York. The Republicans have basically caved on the unemployment money when the states have not even fully dispersed their unemployment money yet. I know people in California who have filed for unemployment in California still not received their checks from the last tranche. But Republicans are caving left and right because Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, is not a Republican. So he's out there being like, okay, fine, Nancy, what do you want? You want this? Sure, we'll give it to you. You want that? Sure, we'll give it to you. And Nancy Pelosi, because her political interest is in not getting a deal done so she can blame Trump, is still holding up the works. This is the second or third time she's done this. Remember, on the first round of relief, Nancy Pelosi stopped a deal that had already been cut between the Senate Majority Leader and the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, so that she could dilly-dally for a week. For a week. And she said that she was trying to make the deal better. She didn't make the deal better. It ended up exactly where it started. Now Nancy Pelosi's doing the same thing. She's negotiating against no one because no one's actually pushing back against her. The only concession Democrats have offered thus far is that they want to spend slightly less on the post office. That's it. That's the only concession. Republicans have conceded on nearly every other point, and Nancy Pelosi's still trying to gum up the works. So Nancy Pelosi was asked about this by Judy Woodruff. Now, let's be clear about this. Judy Woodruff, who works for what? PBS News? So Judy Woodruff is no right-winger. When I say she's no right-winger, I mean Judy Woodruff is a leftist. Okay, she's been a liberal journalist for a very long time. And Judy Woodruff asked like a very basic question to Pelosi, and Pelosi doesn't want to be asked that question because it demonstrates that she is a full-scale political actor who would prefer to watch Americans go without rather than letting Trump take credit for preventing people from going under. I mean, this is very nasty politics. It's so much that Nancy Pelosi goes after Judy Woodruff and suggests that Judy Woodruff is basically a Republican, which is patently crazy. Here's Judy Woodruff asking a basic question, and Nancy Pelosi, dentures all fallen out, trying to explain that Judy Woodruff is a bad person for even asking.
And they're also saying a lot of the money that was passed in the spring, Madam Speaker, has not even been spent yet.
Well, so if you want to be an advocate for them, Judy, if you want to be an advocate for them,
I'm playing devil's advocate here to ask you for your position.
Okay, again, and she doesn't want to give the position. She simply does not want to give the position because the position is obvious. She doesn't want the relief package to move forward because if a relief package moves forward, then she doesn't get to claim that Republicans are obstructing. She's the one who's obstructing. Again, this is like the third time she's done this. I think she did it again with the second package. So it's pretty obvious the Democratic game. Push lockdown and then try to block Republicans from filling in the gaps created by lockdown. And then finally, there's an overarching change the Democrats are pushing here. Every crisis is an opportunity. Michelle Obama yesterday said the quiet part out loud. We'll get to Michelle Obama, who's becoming more and more political. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that Michelle Obama, she started off her career being extremely political. Barack's going to heal your souls. I've never been proud of this country until the moment they nominated my husband. And she was very radical back in her early days. I mean, her college thesis was extraordinarily radical about the inherent racism of the United States, I believe it was about when she was at Princeton. And then she went into Michelle Obama. She kind of did the Hillary Clinton makeover, right? Hillary Clinton, back when she was first lady, she started off, I'm not Tammy Wynette, stay at home, stay by your man. And then she went into kind of the softer version of Hillary Clinton, where she stood by her man. And then she went back into harsh politician. So Michelle Obama, who has become more and more political, like a couple of weeks ago, she did a graduation speech in which she claimed that you cannot get ahead. Like, you literally, it's impossible. People in the United States simply cannot get ahead. Her direct quote, I believe, was, quote, "The truth is, when it comes to all those tidy stories of hard work and self-determination we like to tell ourselves about America, well, the reality is a lot more complicated than that," said Michelle Obama this a couple weeks ago. "For too many people in this country, no matter how hard they work, there are structural barriers working against them that just make the road longer and rockier. Sometimes it's impossible to move upward at all." And that is a very political statement from a woman who, again, grew up kind of middle class. Her dad was a city worker. Her mom was a homemaker. And then she ended up at Princeton and Harvard Law School, ended up working at a law firm, making a bunch of money, married the president, the future president of the United States, is now probably the best-selling nonfiction author of the last 20 years. Seems like there's been some upward mobility in her life. Seems like there's an upward mobility in a lot of our lives. But Michelle Obama is a very political figure. If you believe she will not run for president at some point in the future, I think you have another thing coming. In any case, Michelle Obama completes the trifecta of coronavirus policy here. So remember, when it comes to the Democrats, they have to rely on COVID to bring Trump down. I mean, I think that is what's going on here. I used to think there was some good faith. I no longer think that, because good faith would assume some basic premises about coronavirus. One, there's no great way to handle it. Two, everybody is doing their best to prevent loss of life and prevent loss of the economy. And three, to blame any single person for a disease that no country has control over is insane. But Democrats have decided to ignore all of these things. And now they are openly militating for policy that has not been successful. They're suggesting that places that are utterly unsuccessful are successful, like New Jersey and New York. And they're pretending that they have all the solutions. So they've come up with this sort of three-pronged attack. One is Joe Biden's renew the lockdowns. Two is Nancy Pelosi's, I'm going to block any of the funding necessary to stop the worst of the fallout, so I can blame Republicans. And three, sotto voce, we are hoping that this completely reshifts the nature of American government. That's what Michelle Obama said yesterday. She said COVID is a great opportunity to change how wealth is distributed, which is insane. Insane. If COVID has done anything, it has shifted more wealth toward the wealthier. Okay, let's be real about this. If you are a high net income person in the United States, chances are you're probably still working right now. If you're a white collar worker, a lot better shot that you are working than if you're a blue collar worker. Low income people have been thrown out of work. That is what has happened. People who have money in the stock market are doing basically okay. Because you know what all the rich people did? They didn't sell their stocks when the stock market crashed. They just bought everybody else's stock when those people had to liquidate their stock in order to pay their bills. Coronavirus has exacerbated income inequality in this country. And that is government-driven. A lot of that is government-driven. But Michelle Obama says COVID's a great opportunity because every crisis is an opportunity for Democrats. Michelle Obama said COVID's a great opportunity to change how wealth is distributed in the United States. That's the real agenda here.
That's a part of that reflection that we need to do, you know, with ourselves and as a community. And we have to think about that in terms of how wealth is distributed, you know, how these essential people are supported and what does that mean? A lot of these people are broke.
Okay. The amazing attempt here to shift the entire American conversation around an unprecedented pandemic that no one has full control over, and to turn that into, we have to have a conversation about completely reshifting the nature of American government. That's opportunism at its finest. And so that's the Democratic platform. Shut it all down, try to block Republicans from doing anything to stop that, and then say that we need to reshift the entire American economy. It is fairly incredible how so many people fall for this. It really is. Every time government fails, the solution is always more government. It's an unfalsifiable theory. The government has forcibly shut down millions of businesses all around the United States. The government has put tens of millions of people out of work. And then the government has incompetently attempted to backfill some of that. And the solution from the Democrats is more government. If you fall for that one, you kind of deserve what you get. I mean, frankly, if you fall for the idea that government is going to fix all the problems the government helped create in the first place, and you don't think that individual initiative and self-assessment and a realistic appraisal of your own situation is the best answer, then you deserve to be controlled from above. I don't know what else to tell you. Coming up, the media called Trump a fascist, but there are actual people doing kind of fascist things right now, and people are just ignoring it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. 312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have...
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
It's amazing how many people in the media have declared that Republicans are fascists, right? Trump is a fascist. Trump is he's a bad, bad orange man. He's orange Hitler and all the rest of this stuff. What is the evidence for Trump being a fascist? He tweets things. And he tweets stupid things like he wants to delay the election, which is indeed a silly and fascistic thing to say. He does not have the power to delay the election. To pretend otherwise is ridiculous and undermines faith in our democratic institutions. Meanwhile, Democrats are overtly violating certain requirements that we normally have of people in public life. So over in New York, Letitia James, who's the New York Attorney General, she's now attempting to dissolve the NRA. Now, here's the thing. She said for a while she just wants to go after the NRA. She called the NRA a terrorist group a couple of years ago when she first took office as AG. She vowed openly to target Trump. She also, by the way, vowed to target the NRA. So this is pure political targeting. A couple things can be true. One, there can be serious, real corruption problems over at the NRA. And two, when the New York AG decides to dissolve the NRA, that has nothing to do with the corruption problems and everything to do with this particular AG using the power of her office to target political opponents. Here was Letitia James announcing a lawsuit to dissolve the NRA yesterday.
Just a few minutes ago, my office filed a lawsuit against the National Rifle Association to dissolve the organization in its entirety for years of self-dealing and illegal conduct that violate New York's charities law and undermine its own mission.
And now the real reason she's doing this is because there's a widespread perception in Democratic circles that the NRA spends tons and tons of money during election cycles. They don't. They spend like $18, $20 million during a normal presidential election cycle, as compared to like Michael Bloomberg, who will drop $100 million in an election cycle himself alone. Okay, but let's be real about this. Letitia James said when she took office that she was going to specifically target Trump, which is a violation of a prosecutorial duty. Normally you hunt for a crime. You don't hunt for somebody you don't like and then try and pin a crime on them. Here's a flashback of Letitia James vowing to target Trump when she took office.
Never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president. What is fueling my soul right now is Trump and his abuses. Abuses against immigrants, against women, against our environment. We must do our job to ensure that the man currently occupying the Oval Office is held accountable to any and everything he has done.
If you want to talk about fascism is electing a DA specifically arguing they're going to go after a person they have not identified a crime about. I mean, that's pretty incredible. So she said that about Trump. She also said similar things about the NRA. And now she's going after the NRA. And the media are just cheering. The media are like, oh, look, hero time for Letitia James. If that doesn't scare you, I really do not know what would. And if Democrats love this sort of stuff, wait until Republican AGs start doing the same thing, going after Planned Parenthood and attempting to dissolve Planned Parenthood on a state-by-state basis, saying that there are corruption issues inside Planned Parenthood. The death penalty remedy, as the Wall Street Journal put it, right, it's a death penalty remedy to dissolve the entire organization. She's not going after Wayne LaPierre. She's not going after the other members of the board. She's trying to dissolve the organization utterly. That's a pretty it's a pretty clear indicator that she's giving the game away. President Trump, for his part, says, I don't even know why the NRA is organized in New York. They should move to Texas.
That's a very terrible thing that just happened.
I think the NRA should move to Texas and lead a very good and beautiful life. And I've told them that for a long time. I think they should move to Texas. Texas would be a great place, or to another state of their choosing. But I would say that Texas would be a great place and an appropriate place for the NRA.
Hey, he ain't wrong about this. That is for sure. Okay, meanwhile, I have to discuss this bizarre controversy that broke out online. It wasn't covered as much as it should be because it truly is indicative of where we stand in American public life. We now live in a time when power politics is significantly more important than truth. And you can see this from both sides of the aisle, but I will say that the deconstructionist wing of the Democratic Party, the radical wing of the Democratic Party, the sort of social justice warrior, critical race studies wing of the Democratic Party, has really decided to prioritize power structures and power dynamics over truth. This is why you see people suggesting that any inequality is inequity. It's why you see people completely ignoring statistics in order to push a narrative, because in the end, all that matters is power. The story that brought this to a head was this bizarre debate that happened last weekend on Twitter over whether, I kid you not, 2 + 2 = 4. Now, I know what you're saying to yourself. Doesn't 2 + 2 = 4? Why is that controversial? The answer is because if you live in the world of critical race theory, if you live in the world of Derrida and Michel Foucault and their philosophy of deconstructionism, then all truth is subjective. There is no such thing as an objective truth. So 2 + 2 could theoretically equal 5. There's a professor named James Lindsay, and all of this controversy started when he had a text exchange with another person about postmodernism and what they think about objective claims about the world. His friend asked him at one point what postmodernists would say about the contention that 2 + 2 = 4. And this professor, James Lindsay, who's a professor of mathematics, he says, I told her that they would say that 2 + 2 does not equal 5. They would say 2 + 2 = doesn't matter so long as what it equals is not constrained by hegemonic discourses, meaning that 2 + 2 could equal 5, it could not equal 5. It all depends on what the Westerners say. If the Westerners say 2 + 2 = 4, that is now an intellectual construct that must be torn down at the root. So, says James Lindsay, the postmodern understanding of 2 + 2 can equal whatever people want it to equal, and we should be very skeptical of the idea that it equals 4 because so much political dominance is already built into that answer and how it is obtained. That answer is basic postmodernism, and it has infused so much of wild left-wing thought. Well, what happened here is that Nicole Hannah-Jones, who's the de facto editor of the New York Times, she decided to make fun of the idea that 2 + 2 = 4, saying using Arabic numerals to try to make a point about white Western superiority is just so damn classic, which is kind of crazy. Right? Okay, so what was happening is that somebody said 2 + 2 = 4, and somebody else tweeted back, well, according to deconstructionists, 2 + 2 could equal 5 because math is just a Western construct. And then Nicole Hannah-Jones, because she's a crazy person, tweeted back, using Arabic numerals to try to make a point about white Western superiority is just so damn classic. No, there's nothing white Western or superior about the contention that 2 + 2 = 4. But if you see the world purely in terms of power structures, then everything that is ever said is merely a manifestation of power. It's merely a manifestation of power. And so when people came forth to defend the proposition that 2 + 2 does objectively equal 4, a bunch of randos in the academic community began tweeting out the idea that 2 + 2 does not in fact equal 4. A PhD student named Brittany Marshall insisted, quote, the idea of 2 + 2 equaling 4 is cultural. And because of Western imperialism and colonization, we think of it as the only way of knowing. Now, we've seen stuff like this actually being taught at like the Smithsonian Institute, that the basic idea of science or math is a Western construct. That is the most racist garbage ever. But if the idea is that all knowledge is merely a manifestation of the peculiar minds of the power structure, then it means that truth is of no consequence whatsoever. Anything can be not true so long as it is said by a white person or is a manifestation of the white power structure. And so in politics, truth doesn't matter. You know, the objective truth of a statement doesn't exist. It is just a bunch of white people saying something. This is why you see so many people in the critical justice, the critical race studies program, the critical race theory, the Ibram Kendis and the Robin DiAngelos basically say that objective truth doesn't exist. Anything that I want to be is, and if you deny it, it's because you're a racist who assumes cultural superiority. This is dangerous stuff. It's this little controversy which completely blew up over the weekend. I mean, 2 + 2 = 4 is actually trending on Twitter. This is how far we have come as a civilization, to deny basic truth in exchange for the principle that all truth is basically subjective and is replaceable by power structures. And so we have to shift away from the notion that we can have, all conversation ends at this point. It is just a question of certain people clubbing other people to death, politically and intellectually speaking. All righty, so We'll be back here a little bit later today with two additional hours of content. Also, I am doing a late breaking All Access today. So if you want to become an All Access member, head on over to Daily Wire. I believe we have some deals over there for our All Access members. Also, as you approach the weekend, please pick up a copy of my book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. Continues to be a massive national bestseller, and we always appreciate you joining in. I think the book is really, really important, and I think that you'll get something out of it. I think you should buy one for your liberal friends, too, because it really is not about left versus right so much as people who want to keep the country together versus people who would like to break the country apart. So go check out a copy of my book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. Otherwise, we'll see you here on Monday. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump once again promising to overhaul the nation's health care system.
At a Friday evening press conference, the president said he expects to make a health care announcement in the next 2 weeks.
We will be pursuing a major executive order requiring health insurance companies to cover all pre-existing conditions for all of its customers.
As a 2016 presidential candidate, Mr. Trump promised to overturn Obamacare, but his effort to do so has come up short. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Phoenix says no to Sheriff Joe. Joe Arpaio narrowly defeated in his bid to win back the sheriff's post he held for 24 years before he was voted out in 2016. His former top aide, Jerry Sheridan, will face the Democrat who previously defeated Arpaio, Paul Penzone, in the November general election. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says they failed again to reach a COVID-19 rescue deal.
Unfortunately, we did not make any progress today. We discussed the same issues. We did come back up. We were requested to have another meeting. And let me just say, to the extent that they are willing to make new proposals, the chief and I will be back here any time to listen to new proposals.
President Trump says if Congress can't get it done, he'll likely issue more limited executive orders on things like home evictions, student loan debt, and allowing states to repurpose COVID-19 relief funding into their unemployment insurance programs. Jerry Falwell Jr. has taken an indefinite leave of absence as president and chancellor of Liberty University just days after a social media post he made drew criticism and calls for his resignation. Falwell has served in the post since 2007 at the university founded by his evangelist father, the late Reverend Jerry Falwell. More news, more analysis, townhall.com.
For more than 20 years, investigative filmmaker Tim Mahoney has traveled across the globe in search of patterns of evidence to support some of the Old Testament's most miraculous events. Now, with the Red Sea Miracle Part 2, Journey to Egypt and Beyond, as Tim interviews some of the world's foremost experts to discover the truth. Is there evidence of how and where the host of Israelites could have traveled as recorded in the Bible? Is there evidence of the Egyptian army's demise in the Red Sea? If you've seen the first part of this investigation of the Red Sea Miracle, you won't want to miss the continuation. The results of his pursuits are faith-affirming and fascinating. You must see Patterns of Evidence, The Red Sea Miracle Part 2. To see this powerful documentary and others in the series, go to salemnow.com and use the promo code FAMILY for 20% off. That's salemnow.com, promo code FAMILY, F-A-M-I-L-Y, for 20% off.
Russia says they're about to become the first country to approve a COVID-19 vaccine.
Russia's planning on mass vaccinations as early as October, using shots that are yet to complete clinical trials. And scientists worldwide are sounding the alarm that the headlong rush could backfire. In an AP interview, Lawrence Gostin, a public health law expert at Georgetown University, says he's worried Russia's cutting corners so that the vaccine that will come out may not be just ineffective, but also unsafe. The health expert adds, it doesn't work that way. Trials come first. That's really important. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A special flight carrying evacuees to India who had been stranded abroad because of the coronavirus skidded off a runway and split in two while landing Friday in heavy rain in the southern state of Kerala, killing at least 16 passengers, injuring about 123 more. More news at townhall.com. An incomplete tunnel's been found that stretches from Mexico to Arizona.
It's being described by government officials as one of the most sophisticated tunnels in U.S. history. The intention was smuggling. It went from San Luis Rio, Colorado, Mexico, to San Luis, Arizona, where it stopped short of reaching the surface. It had a ventilation system, water lines, electrical wiring, a rail system, and extensive reinforcement. Homeland Security investigators started excavating around the tunnel a few weeks ago after someone reported a sinkhole near the border wall. I'm Ed Donahue.
Legislators in the southern Mexico state of Oaxaca are approving a ban on selling high-calorie snack food to children, seeking to combat one of the world's highest rates of childhood obesity. The measure would fine shopkeepers for selling or giving away high-calorie snack foods like sodas and pastries, chips, to anybody under the age of 18. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Backbone Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is open for safe, outdoor fun, play, and discovery. With towering playgrounds, exciting animal shows, our unique parrot playhouse, interactive games, and more, a day at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp is sure to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
In Seattle and Portland and everywhere else, they were mostly peaceful. Mostly peaceful. Like, you know, that day in Beirut. Mostly a peaceful day until, you know, there was like one, it was really just one moment of like a giant explosion that killed hundreds of people. Other than that, mostly peaceful day over in Beirut. That was the media's take on everything happening in Chaschop, the greatest of all republics, the short-lived utopian republic. It was a wonderful, wonderful place, except for the people getting shot and everything. Nellie Bowles, over at the New York Times, a few months late, she's committed an actual act of reporting, which is like a drive-by event. It's just, it's terrible and horrific, and everybody should be ashamed. Nellie Bowles it's headlined, "Abolish the Police. Those who survived the chaos in Seattle aren't so sure." Faisal Khan was being told by the news media and his own mayor that the protests in his hometown were peaceful, with a block party atmosphere. That is not what he saw through the windows of his Seattle coffee shop. He saw encampments overtaking the sidewalks. He saw roving bands of masked protesters smashing windows and looting. Young white men wielding guns would harangue customers, as well as Mr. Khan, a gay man of Middle Eastern descent who moved here from Texas so he could be more comfortably out. To get into his coffee shop, he sometimes had to seek the permission of self-appointed armed guards to cross a border they had erected. "They barricaded us all in here," said Khan. "They were sitting in lawn chairs with guns." For 23 days in June, about 6 blocks in the city's Capitol Hill neighborhood were claimed by left-wing demonstrators and declared police-free. Protesters hailed it as a liberation from police oppression, from white supremacy, and a catalyst for a national movement. In the wake of the killing of George Floyd by the Minneapolis police, says Nellie Bowles, the Black Lives Matter movement is calling to defund the police, arguing that the criminal justice system is inherently racist. Leaders in many progressive cities are listening. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio has announced a plan to shift $1 billion out of the police budget. The Minneapolis City Council is pitching a major reduction. The Seattle City Council is pushing for a 50% cut to police department funding. The mayor said that plan goes too far. Some even call for abolishing the police altogether and closing down precincts. Well, that's what happened in Seattle. According to Nellie Bowles, that has left small business owners as lonely voices in progressive areas, arguing that police officers are necessary and that cities cannot function without a robust public safety presence. In Minneapolis, Seattle, and Portland, Oregon, many of those business owners consider themselves progressive. In interviews, they express support for BLM. But they also worry that their businesses, already debilitated by the coronavirus pandemic, will struggle to survive if police departments and city governments cannot protect them. Who could have predicted such a thing? Who could have predicted, except everyone with a functioning brain? On Capitol Hill, says the New York Times' Nellie Bowles, business crashed as the Seattle police refused to respond to calls to the area. Officers did not retake the region until July 1st, after four shootings, including two fatal ones. Now, a group of local business owners, including a locksmith, the owner of a tattoo parlor, a mechanic, the owners of a Mexican restaurant, and Mr. Khan, are suing the city. The lawsuit claims that Seattle's unprecedented decision to abandon and close off an entire city neighborhood, leaving it unchecked by the police, unserved by fire and emergency health services, inaccessible to the public, resulted in enormous property damage and lost revenue. The Seattle lawsuit and interviews with shop owners in cities like Portland and Minneapolis underscore a key question. Can businesses still rely on local governments, which are now rethinking the role of police, to keep them safe? The issue is especially tense in Seattle, where the city government not only permitted the establishment of a police-free zone, but provided infrastructure like concrete barriers and portable toilets to sustain it. Many business owners are nervous about speaking out lest they lend ammo to a conservative critique of BLM. You gotta love that. They're so concerned about people like me talking about the fact that Chaz Chop was a bad thing and the fact that there is a violent wing to the Black Lives Matter protests that they don't even want to talk about the fact that their own businesses were in danger of being burned to the ground. That's ideological commitment. You got to have some admiration for that. In Portland, Elizabeth Snow McDougall, owner of Stevens Nest Legal Printers, emphasized her support for the cause before describing the damage done to her business. One window broken, then another, then another, then another. Garbage to clean off the sidewalk in front of the store every morning. Urine to wash out of our doorway alcove. Graffiti to remove. McDougall wrote in an email, cost to board up and later will have cost to repair. The impact of the occupation on Cafe Argento, Khan's coffee shop on Capitol Hill, has been devastating. Very few people braved the barricades set up by the armed occupiers to come in for coffee and breakfast sandwiches. Cars coming to pick up food would turn around. At two points, his workers felt scared and called 911, and they wouldn't come in to chop. He said it was lawless. He had to start paying for private security. But he considers himself lucky, and he was. Even weeks after the protests, blocks of his previously bustling neighborhood remained boarded up and covered in shattered glass. Many business owners are scared to speak out, says Khan, because of worries they would be targeted further. A confusing array of security teams wandered about armed with handguns and rifles. Some wore official-looking private security uniforms. Others wore casual clothes and lanyards identifying their affiliation with BLM. A third group wore all black with no identifying labels, declined to name their group affiliation. This is as of mid-July. When a tall man in a trench coat and hiking boots walked over to question Khan, the man spread his coat open, revealing several pistols on harnesses around his chest and waist. He presented a badge on a lanyard that read, Black Lives Matter Community Patrol. Khan said he and his neighbors are now paying thousands of dollars a month for protection from Iconic Global, a Washington state-based private security contractor. By the way, the person who was walking around with the lanyard that said Black Lives Matter Community Patrol, his name is Rick Hearns. He is now a Black Lives Matter community guard. He said he's had bad experience with cops in his own lives, and he wants police reform, but he was appalled by the violent tactics and rhetoric he witnessed during the occupation. He said that it was Antifa. He said they don't want to see the progress we've made. They want chaos. Khan said the idea of taking up the black movement and turning it into a white occupation is white privilege in its finest definition. That's what they did. Meanwhile, Mazie Hirono, the idiot senator from Hawaii, she literally was in a congressional hearing, and she was asked to condemn Antifa. She got up and she walked out. So good for Nellie Bowles for actually doing some reporting. But it's incredible that it only took a few months for the New York Times to actually, you know, deploy a reporter to actively report on what the hell was going on out there. You know, as opposed to just the, it's mostly peaceful stuff. It's all mostly peaceful. So much peace. Incredible, incredible peace. And meanwhile, when we talk about massively misleading media coverage, we also have to talk about President Trump and TikTok. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact that it's been a pretty depressing time, has it not? I mean, it's a pretty depressing time in American life. But things are getting better. There will be time to smile in the future. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that when it does, you are going to want to make sure that your teeth are straight. And that is why you need Candid Clear Aligners. They are comfortable, removable, totally invisible. Unlike wire braces, you can transform that smile without anybody noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like other companies. With some of those other companies, you may never hear from a doctor as you go through treatment, which is ridiculous. With Candid, your treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan. You never have to wonder how you're doing. You'll always know, which I love. The average Candid treatment is just 6 months. You'll start seeing results way before then, and it costs an average of 50% less than Invisalign. I've been using Candid myself, and these teeth, these pearly whites, They're getting magnificent, let me tell you. If you are ready to take the first step toward getting your dream smile, you can't wait to show off, get started today from the comfort of your own home with Candid's risk-free starter kit and $75 off. Go to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. That is CandidCO.com/Ben. Code Ben for that risk-free starter kit and $75 off. CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. Okay, speaking of media malpractice. So President Trump has been going after TikTok. This is a good thing. TikTok is a Chinese company. Whenever you see a corporation based in China, it's a Chinese-run company. It's a communist country. There's no such thing as a capitalist corporation in China. They're just state-allowed enterprises that the Chinese government effectively runs. Okay, so TikTok is one of these companies, and we know full well that they've been engaged in data mining. Well, yesterday, President Trump issued a pair of executive orders that would impose new limits on Chinese social media apps TikTok and WeChat, escalating tensions with Beijing, effectively setting a 45-day deadline for an American company to purchase TikTok's U.S. operations, as according to the Wall Street Journal. The order bars people in the United States or subject to U.S. jurisdiction from transactions with the Chinese-based owners of the apps, effectively 45 days from Thursday. That raises the possibility that U.S. citizens would be prevented from downloading the apps in the Apple or Google App stores. It also renews pressure on Microsoft and TikTok's parent, ByteDance Ltd., to reach a deal for the app's U.S. operations. The TikTok order formalizes Trump's earlier calls for shutting down the app should no American buyer complete a deal within 45 days. TikTok said that it was shocked, saying it was done without due process. And they say they want legal action if it didn't get fair treatment from American authorities. But nope, Trump does have the authority to shut down companies that are engaged in, for example, intellectual property theft, which is effectively what TikTok is doing. U.S. officials have expressed concern that China's authoritarian government would have access to the data TikTok collects from users, including Americans. TikTok says, we'd never hand over such data to the Chinese government. Wink, wink. The order says the data collection threatens to allow the Chinese Communist Party access to Americans' personal and proprietary information, potentially allowing China to track the locations of federal employees and contractors, build dossiers of personal information for blackmail, and conduct corporate espionage. Now, this is a good thing. In fact, there is bipartisan support for it. Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, has expressed support for shutting down TikTok. The executive order actually came after the Senate unanimously passed a bill prohibiting federal employees from using TikTok on government-issued devices. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri said, in light of all we know, it's unthinkable to me. We should continue to permit federal employees, those workers entrusted with sensitive government data, to access this app on their work phones and computers. Nonetheless, the media's coverage of TikTok is utterly disconnected from reality. So Taylor Lorenz, who's the worst reporter at the New York Times, basically just trolls online for various kind of teenagers and gets their views on things. She has a piece, just updated a couple of days ago, talking about how for Gen Z and millennials, TikTok is our clubhouse and Trump is just trying to shut down our fun. Trump's a mean bad man. There are Democrats who are claiming that the reason Trump is trying to shut down TikTok has nothing to do with national security. It's just because he's PO'd because supposedly members of the TikTok community falsely registered for tickets at his Tulsa, Oklahoma event and led to people not showing up. Now, that's not true. It's pretty obviously not true. Again, many Democrats support shutting down TikTok. But the idea from the media is anything Trump does is bad, and therefore, anything else is good. And therefore, we have to ignore all the bad things that are happening in the world so long as we can focus on Trump and pretend that everything Orange Man does is bad. This is how you end up with the media completely ignoring what's happening in Seattle and Portland, pretending that it's mostly peaceful because Trump's the bad guy. Trump, by the way, the feds have drawn down forces in Portland. The riots continue apace. They have not stopped. These idiots attempted to set fire to the federal courthouse again last night. Again, when it comes to TikTok, instead of focusing in on the evil actions of the Chinese government, on the intellectual property theft of the Chinese government, instead of focusing in on that, what you get is the media, many members of the media, suggesting that it's all about Trump. It's all about Trump. Listen, if your political take is rooted solely in your opposition to Trump, and everything he does must be bad because Trump is doing it, you're going to end up defending some pretty awful people and some pretty awful policies. And that is what you are seeing from the media. It really is, like, I don't know how you end up defending TikTok. I do not understand how you end up defending TikTok from Trump. If forced to choose between the Chinese communist government and its front companies and Trump, that is not a hard choice. That's not a difficult choice. It doesn't matter. Again, everybody is apparently, it's all about Trump being a bad guy. And that is why, for example, you'll see members of the NBA community continuing to defend the Chinese government while ripping on Trump and racial problems in the United States. We'll get to that in just a second. because the NBA continues to do business with China, continues to maintain its brand with China, meanwhile declaring that America is deeply racist, deeply horrible. Stan Van Gundy, former coach, had some words about America. Pretty astonishing. We'll get to that in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Paid for by Tax Advocate Group.
Are you tired of dodging the IRS for back taxes? Are you curious about potential new options available to you because of COVID-19? The coronavirus has forced the government to take extensive actions, making this the most opportunistic time for you to finally restructure or even resolve your tax debt with the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, and are experiencing hardships because of the impact of COVID-19, you could qualify for more aggressive resolution plans with the IRS. Tax Advocate Group has specialists ready to help you determine your eligibility for these programs. Act now before it's too late. This could be your best chance to resolve your tax debt. If left unresolved, your debt will continue to accumulate penalties and interest and eventually be subject to serious and punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the NBA continues to put out its social justice warrior stuff about how America is deeply racist, while apparently millions of Americans continue to watch an overwhelmingly black league play basketball, and those players get paid millions of dollars to do so. The sports media is just – so many in the sports media are just despicable. I mean, truly despicable. There's a piece today about an ESPN host who actually was celebrating the injury sustained by Jonathan Isaacs. So Jonathan Isaacs sustained – a season-ending knee injury. Okay, Jonathan Isaacs is a player for the Orlando Magic who refused to kneel for the national anthem or wear a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. He suffered a season-ending ACL injury. That prompted ESPN radio host Dan Le Batard to post a poll question asking whether people thought the injury was funny. He literally posted this question. Is it funny that the guy who refused to kneel immediately blew out his knee? Okay, this is because he is a douchebag. Okay, that's a douchebag thing to tweet. Our friends at OutKick, the coverage, wrote, Le Batard's show is the epitome of far-left sports coverage. A player standing is so bothersome, it justifies laughing at a gruesome injury. Could you imagine Le Batard running a similar poll if Colin Kaepernick went down with an injury? Of course not. He'd been met with a termination letter. After the game on Friday, Isaac spoke to the press. He was asked, do you believe Black Lives Matter? Isaac said, absolutely, I believe Black Lives Matter. A lot went into my decision. Kneeling or wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt doesn't go hand in hand with supporting Black Lives. I do believe Black Lives Matter. I just felt like it was a decision I had to make. I didn't feel like putting that shirt on and kneeling went hand in hand with supporting Black Lives. He said, my life has been supported through the gospel, Jesus Christ. Everyone is made in the image of God. We all fall short of God's glory. Each and every one of us, each and every day, do things we shouldn't do, say things we shouldn't say, hate and dislike people we shouldn't hate and dislike. Sometimes it gets to a point where we point fingers about whose evil is worse. Sometimes it comes down to simply whose evil is most visible. I felt like I wanted to take a stand on it. I feel we all make mistakes. I think the gospel of Jesus, there's grace for all of us. Levitard finally issued an apology on Monday. He said, we apologize for this poll question. I said, on the front and back end of the on-air conversation, I didn't think it was funny. Regardless of the context, we missed the mark. How's that even controversial? That whether it was funny or not. Just demonstrates the insanity of the far left-wing media. Speaking of which, the far left-wing sports media is, again, our friends at Outkick doing a good job trying to counter some of this nonsense. Stan Van Gundy, the former head coach of the Detroit Pistons, Orlando Magic, and Miami Heat, wildly overrated head coach. So the Orlando Sentinel put out a piece titled, China Gets the NBA to Shut Up and Dribble. And it was about how the NBA has basically virtue signaled about the evils of the United States repeatedly, but no one will say a damn word about anything going on in China, which is a relevant point. Like, it's not difficult to condemn both. And if you think America sucks so much, you might want to take a look at the place where you're continuing to do extraordinary amounts of business and refuse to condemn it. Like, even if the NBA wanted to continue doing business in China, but they weren't basically taking Chinese money to shut up, that would be one thing. And lots of businesses in America do business in China. That's not illegal. As long as you're not allowing the Chinese government to control what you say about the Chinese government, that does not make you a shill for China. It just makes you a business. But the NBA has basically forced its players and its owners to shut up about Chinese malfeasance and evil. So Stan Van Gundy tweeted this, and it's an amazing statement about what he thinks of America. He tweeted, quote, we committed genocide against Native Americans. We have enslaved, lynched, segregated, and incarcerated blacks for over 400 years. Women couldn't vote for 140 years. Using abuses elsewhere to try to distract from our own poor record on human rights is dishonest. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So his response to, you won't condemn human rights abuses in China, is, did you know that slavery used to be here in the United States? Now, let me just posit something. Whenever people say things like, we committed genocide against Native Americans, we enslaved, lynched, segregated, incarcerated blacks over 400 years, we stopped women from voting, who's this we, Kimo Sabe? And who are you talking about? I didn't do any of that stuff. Did Stan Van Gundy do any of that stuff? Whenever people says, we have all sinned, what they really mean is you have sinned. And because I am acknowledging our communal sin, I no longer am a sinner. Whenever people say, we have to take collective responsibility, what they mean is you have not. Therefore, the responsibility remains on you. Dissociation is a way for you to say, well, I've done my part, right? I mean, I accepted my white culpability. So I'm a good guy now. You who have not, you continue to be a bad guy. So when Stan Van Gundy says this stupid nonsense, like, we committed genocide against Native, first of all, let's be clear about this. The United States did not commit genocide against Native Americans. It's a lie. The notion that the United States committed genocide against Native Americans is based on a false equivalence between disease spreading across the United States, decimating the Native American population, which is not a genocide, and an actual forcible genocide. If you want to say that the United States committed a certain level of ethnic cleansing with regards to the Trail of Tears, there's some accuracy to that. You want to say the United States committed genocide against the Native Americans in the same way the Nazis committed genocide? That is just not accurate. It's not real. Okay, that doesn't mean bad things haven't happened, but that's such a wild overstatement of the history. In any case, even if you believe that the United States, quote-unquote, committed genocide against Native Americans, I didn't, you didn't, who is we? When he says, we have enslaved, lynched, segregated, and incarcerated, I have never enslaved a black person. I've never lynched a black person. I've never segregated against a black person. I've never jailed a black person. So I don't know who this we is. When he says we, he means that you have because you're bad. So if you're using stuff that we have rectified in American history, by the way, and when I say we, I mean the United States, when you say that we have done all this bad stuff and you refuse to acknowledge that America has course corrected on many of these bad things, or that they happened hundreds of years in the past, so that's why you're not going to condemn something happening today? That is the essence of intellectual dishonesty. The essence of it. It's like saying, okay, so today there's a guy who's beating his wife, right? Shouldn't he stop beating his wife? I'm not going to stop beating my wife because, you know, three generations ago, her grandparents did something real bad to my grandparents. No, that's not how any of that works. That is not how any of that works. The real answer here is that members of the NBA community continue to stump on behalf of these are all market-based decisions. The NBA wants to continue to do business in China, even if it means kowtowing to the Chinese government. The NBA wants to rip on the United States, even if it means offending Americans, because they are catering specifically to a disproportionately leftist audience. They figure that most Americans are going to ignore the politics and those who don't want the leftism. This is not principle. This is pure profit-seeking. The profit-seeking may be bad for the country, by the way, but it is pure profit-seeking. It has very little to do with Stan Van Gundy being a warrior for justice or Dan Le Batard being a warrior for racial justice. Sheer silliness. All right, coming up, we're going to be taking your phone calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. In the meantime, go pick up a copy of my brand new book, How to Destroy America, in 3 Easy Steps. It makes for great weekend reading. I think you will enjoy it. You can even listen to this mellifluous voice read it to you if you get an audio copy. We'll be back in a moment with your calls. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2153 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
Our August series is called Diagnosis Writer. Each episode, we're taking a close look at identifying common but difficult problems and pinning down their solutions. September spotlights designing interesting characters with interesting skill sets.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. 855-236-3228. Dave in Rochester, New York, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Dave.
The neo-Marxist left attempt to actually redefine our language, for example, racism being replaced by the word systemic racism and privilege to mean experiences of perceived inequity without questioning the existential validity of the problem or the privilege that they're talking about. Like, they're redefining our language, so how do we counter that?
So I think that it's perfectly within reason and within bounds to ask for people to define their terms. And the fact that the left doesn't want to define the terms usually gives the game away. As you say, one of the real difficulties when people debate is refusal to define terms. So I've said for a long time, when people say systemic racism, I want your actual definition of systemic racism. What do you mean by that? Because it could mean several things. It could mean America has been racist in its history, and that has some consequences today in terms of inequality. And that's inarguable. I'm sure that history has consequences because, of course, it does. It could mean that institutions today continue to promulgate policies that are racist. That is endemically not true. It is, I would say, forcefully not true, considering it is federally illegal to do that. And in fact, if there is discriminatory policy, it is discrimination in favor of, for example, Black Americans in affirmative action programs, if we're talking about legal discrimination. Okay, so we have to discuss what we mean by systemic racism. If we mean the former, that history has consequences, that still does not answer the question as to what is the best policy today for ensuring that everybody has equal access to rights before law. Right? That, because if we discriminate against some because of historical discrimination against others, then isn't that still discrimination? And isn't it true that providing equal rights before law is in fact the best that any government can do? Right? That's a realistic conversation. And that attempts to sort of correct for the past have typically failed. We've been trying to do it through the war on poverty for some 50, 60 years at this point. We've spent $22 trillion on that effort. But nobody wants to define the terms, because when they say systemic racism, what they really want is for you to say, I don't believe in systemic racism. They say, ah, because you're a racist. Right? They use these coded terms. It's the same thing that Ibram Kendi will do when he says, it's not enough to be not racist, you have to be anti-racist. And you say, well, I don't know what that means. Can you define it? And he says, well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you is a dead giveaway that their terminology is bad. Because what they want, here's how they want the conversation to go, is for you to say, I'm not a racist. And they say, yes, but are you anti-racist? You say, well, I mean, I'm against racism. Yeah, but we need more from you than to be anti-racist. You have to against racism. You have to be anti-racist. You say, I don't know what that means. You say, ah, because you're a racist. Right? The whole game is to use vague terminology to club you over the head. Vague terminology that sounds good and that people are going to misinterpret. They use terminology that is deliberately capable of misinterpretation. You see this with Black Lives Matter all the time, right? I've been talking about this for a long time, that Black Lives Matter means three distinct things, one of which is good and two of which are bad. One, the basic notion that all human beings are created equal in the image of God. Two, that America is a systemically racist place. Three, the Black Lives Matter organization. Two of those three meanings are bad. What you see from the left is an unwillingness to define what they mean specifically so that you can say, no, I don't agree with Black Lives Matter. And they say, ah, because you don't agree that Black Lives Matter. Like, no, I said, I don't agree with the group Black Lives Matter. Oh, so what you're really saying, if anybody ever uses the sentence, what you're really saying, they're trying to deliberately misinterpret you. So I do not think that it is beyond bounds to say, I need a specific definition of what you mean so we can have a conversation. And if you refuse to define your terms, you don't want to have a conversation. You just want to browbeat me.
Yes. Quick follow-up question is, do you recommend them leaving it open-ended for them to define it? Or if they're stumbling, do you recommend throwing in some multiple choice in there, which could potentially, they could say that's neither of those, but which method do you prefer?
I think you can let them try to define it, but mostly what you'll end up with is people giving vague terminology or saying, how dare you ask a black person to define anti-racism? Like, this is an actual thing. Robin DiAngelo says this in her book. She'll say, you know, you should learn from black people about racism, but don't ask them questions. Because if you do, that's just it's a signifier that you think all black people think a lot. I mean, it's all crazy, man. So at a certain point, you may have to step in and go, which of these three things do you mean? Like, can we be clear? And if it's none of those three things, what other thing do you mean? And then if they're, it's like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. At a certain point, it becomes pointless. So, Dave, I appreciate the call. It is one of the bigger problems in American public discourse. Jordan in Utah, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jordan.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for taking my call. So I had a question for you again about systemic racism. I'd had this experience as a missionary in Connecticut on the drive between West Hartford to Hartford,
mm-hmm.
where everyone went from – it's actually Hartford to West Hartford – where everyone went from usually poor, not white, and then two blocks later, like mini mansions everywhere, everyone's white. And I feel like Left has done a really good job. I'm kind of taking this kind of general feeling of like, oh, look, there's, you know, people are poor and no one's white over there. And then two blocks later, like everyone's white, everyone's rich. They've done a really good job of kind of taking that message and turning it into systemic racism, right?
Yes.
So I was wondering if you thought there's anything conservatives could do as far as messaging to kind of still address the problem, but do it in a conservative way where like,
sure.
So like I think free.
So Jordan, I think that there's a category error that has been actively promulgated by the media and by the political left. And you mentioned the category error here. And that is there are two cross-cutting distinctions that we've mentioned in this conversation already. The cross-cutting distinction between poor and rich and the cross-cutting distinction between black and white. One of these is not the cause, right? So what the left has done is they've said, that the distinctions are essentially the same. They've conflated the two. Poor equals black, rich equals white, right? This is something that Joe Biden himself has said. Right? Joe Biden gaffed a couple months ago, and he said, you know, there's a difference between being rich and being black, right, which is an incredible statement. There are lots of rich black people in America, and there are lots of poor white people in America.
Oh, yeah.
Because black people in the United States are disproportionately poorer than white people in the United States, although – Asian people in the United States are disproportionately richer than either one of those groups, by the way, because people conflate the cross-cutting distinctions between because they basically argue that poor equals black and rich equals white. First of all, that's kind of racist because it ain't true. But two, it's actually it's ignoring the real problem, which is how do we get poor people to be richer? Right? The question is not did those rich people steal the money from the poor people because they didn't. The question isn't are there legal structures in place that keep the poor people poor because there aren't. The real question is. And the question isn't even what happened in history to make certain areas lower income versus certain areas higher income. The question is what can we do today to make poor people richer? And this is why you've seen – it's really fascinating. You've seen a gap open up – or at least there was a gap until very recently – between sort of the Bernie Sanders wing of the party, the sort of socialist wing of the Democratic Party, and the racial justice warrior wing of the Democratic Party. Because Bernie sounds kind of more like a Republican when he suggests that what we're really talking about is the distinction between rich and poor. Right? His solutions are wrong, but he says what we're really talking about is a class issue here. And then there are Democrats who say it's not really a class issue, it's a race issue. But Bernie is right that it's more of a class issue, right? It is more about like poor versus rich. And then the question becomes what decisions can we incentivize in people's lives so that poor areas become richer? What can we do to gentrify those areas? And one of the things that you will see from members of the political left is an objection to many of the steps that need to be taken in order to make it easier for poor people to become rich. So this is what you see with the insane stuff from the National Museum of African American History and Culture, where they say that punctuality, cause and effect, that the scientific method, these are white people things. No, those are ways that you get successful, right? Being a diligent person is how you become successful in the United States, regardless of your race. It's why when you see the left saying we need to get rid of the police, you think to yourself, okay, that is making it worse for poor people, regardless of race. is making it significant, which is why, by the way, 81% of black Americans say they want at least the same number of police in their neighborhoods or more police in their neighborhoods. So I think the human beings have an innate tendency to make distinctions based on visible differences, like differences between race. But the actual visible differences that should matter are the differences between, for example, rich and poor, how many cops are on the streets. What are the housing conditions like? How do we get more businesses into these neighborhoods? What are the crime rates like? Right? If you want to make it so that poorer areas in Hartford are more like richer areas, then how do you make it so that poorer areas are more like richer areas rather than assuming that the white people are keeping the black people down or that some sort of de facto segregation is the actual rationale here instead of individual decision-making that can actually be cured? You can't really cure the nature of human sin. What you can do is incentivize people to make good decisions and make it easier for them to make good decisions by vitiating the obstacles to cause and effect. What crime does, for example, is it vitiates. What crime does is it creates an obstacle to cause and effect, right? You're working hard, you're doing your best, and you can't get any customers to come in your store because they're afraid they're going to get robbed, right? You're doing what you can, and the system has not provided protection for your property. So what do we need to do? We need to provide protection for your property so that cause and effect are now effectuated.
So is there a message Republicans should be pushing? Because a lot of it's just like, you know, Democrats are wrong, but I feel like Democrats are winning the messaging on this.
Well, I think Democrats are winning the messaging, mainly because most Americans see disproportionate differences between groups, and they immediately assume that that is due to inequity, that it is due to some sort of discrimination. So the conflation between disparity and discrimination is a very easy one. It's an easy mental trick to play. But the truth is that there are disparities between every group, right? As I mentioned earlier, Asian Americans have a much higher household income than white Americans. That doesn't mean that Asian Americans are discriminating against white Americans or that the system is built to benefit Asian Americans. It means that there are many areas of the United States where people individually need to make better decisions, where governments need to make better decisions about how to incentivize good decision-making and prevent crime and, yes, put criminals in jail, and that would be a good thing. The same leftists who are claiming that we need better opportunities in poor minority neighborhoods are opposing gentrification. Gentrification is bringing more money into those communities. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, cool.
Jordan, I really appreciate the call. And thanks for the missionary work. That's obviously a very, very good thing. Steve in Chicago, you're on the Venture Bureau Show. Go for it, Steve.
Hey, Ben. Several years ago, you were doing a live show in Seattle with Black Lives Matter activists. It's a popular YouTube clip. When asked about whether racism is a driving factor in income inequality, you responded, because it has nothing to do with race and everything to do with culture. Some of your fellow panelists initially started laughing, but you continued with your response, and they had no answer. So I wanted to ask you, could you define culture? What elements of culture in the black community are driving income inequality? And is it possible to discuss culture honestly without being branded a racist, since race and culture are so deeply interrelated?
So first of all, I don't think that race and culture have to be interrelated, nor should they be. I mean, I wouldn't say that it is, quote unquote, black culture to not value education. There are plenty of black Americans who value education extraordinarily highly. I think that there are certain pathologies that exist in poor communities, black or white, that are common across those communities. Now, they may not exist in the same proportions in those communities, but that has nothing to do with race and everything to do with culture, right? There are areas of white Appalachia where education is not valued particularly highly. J.D. Vance talks about this in Hillbilly Elegy. The pathologies of poverty that exist cross-racially are the same. And then it's just a question of how often they exist in particular communities, regardless of race. So pathologies of poverty include not valuing education enough, such that your kids are not spending a lot of time on homework, or not having fathers in the home, such that you have two parents who are available to help read with your kids. Pathologies of poverty include high crime, include, again, lack of fathers in the home means that very often young men tend to congregate in gangs, right? Those are pathologies of poverty, right? All of those pathologies are not unique to the black community. They may exist disproportionately in particular black communities, but that doesn't mean that that's because of the race. The bottom line is that the recipe for success is the same for everyone in the United States. You make responsible decisions out of wedlock, you finish high school. If you go to college, try to major in something where you're actually going to make money on the other end. Like, for example, you'll see people cite statistics that black college graduates don't earn as much as white college graduates. Well, that doesn't adjust for major. If you major in a soft study, a liberal arts study, you're not going to make as much money as if you major in STEM, which is why white college graduates earn less than Asian American college graduates, for example. Right? They're just decisions. And so what I said in that clip, and it's right, obviously, which is why you see the people who I'm talking to, one is a member of the local NAACP, one's a member of the Seattle Stranger. Right? You see these people go from laughing to being kind of chastened a little bit in the clip. It is not arguable that pathologies of poverty like single motherhood have nothing to do with race. When the single motherhood rate in the black community went from 20% in 1960 to well over 70% today, that is going to have some significant downstream effect. When the high school dropout rate differential between high school black students and high school white students is significant, that's going to have significant downstream effect. What does that have to do with race? The answer is it doesn't have anything to do with race. Okay, so I think the way to discuss it is to point out over and over and over again that this is not a racial distinction. This is a distinction between decisions that individuals make and can make. And our job, in terms of public policy, is to incentivize people to make the right decisions, not to incentivize them to make the wrong decisions by, for example, compensating them for making the wrong decisions, which is what welfare policy did in the 1960s and helped exacerbate the problems of single motherhood in black communities, by the way, as well as white communities. The single motherhood rate in the white community was 5% in 1960. Today, it's well in excess of 40%.
Well, Ben, thank you for that. I mean, I think the thing that is a little frustrating when I hear Democrats talking is that they refuse to address the culture issue whatsoever. They immediately want to go to social programs and not discuss culture, and I just think culture is such an important element that does drive income inequality. I'm just surprised they won't do it.
I mean, all we mean by culture when we say culture is just decisions made by people. And when we say culture, it means like a disproportionate number of bad decisions or good decisions made by a particular group of people. And again, that is not – that's why I'm not going to say it's quote-unquote black culture on education. That black people don't care about education. That's not true.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
The Policy Genius team handles all paperwork and the red tape. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance company, so if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they will take care of everything. They even have policies that allow eligible customers to skip the in-person medical exam and do it over the phone. This is all awesome stuff. If you need life insurance, head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. You could save $1,500 or more a year by comparing quotes on the Policy Genius Marketplace. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and important to get it right. All right, coming up, more of your phone calls, 855-236-3228. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Tax Advocate Group.
Are you tired of dodging the IRS for back taxes? Are you curious about potential new options available to you because of COVID-19? The coronavirus has forced the government to take extensive actions, making this the most opportunistic time for you to finally restructure or even resolve your tax debt with the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, and are experiencing hardships because of the impact of COVID-19, you could qualify for more aggressive resolution plans with the IRS. Tax Advocate Group has specialists ready to help you determine your eligibility for these programs. Act now before it's too late. This could be your best chance to resolve your tax debt. If left unresolved, your debt will continue to accumulate penalties and interest and eventually be subject to serious and punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
When I grow up, I want to be a teacher because they know a lot of awesome stuff. I'll stand in front of the class and make sure everyone knows what I know.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a serious defect of the immune system. Early testing gives children a chance to dream.
And when I'm a teacher, my favorite subject will be recess.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. Visit info4pi.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. Jacob in Ohio, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jacob.
Hi, Ben. So, huge fan. My question is, in the event of Trump getting reelected in 2024, would you see, do you think the radical left would maybe like learn a lesson and maybe not try to run someone as radical, or do you think they would take an even more radical approach as far as who they select for a candidate?
I think they're likely to pick somebody even more radical. This is the problem with them picking Biden. If it were Sanders and he got shellacked, they'd have to respond by running somebody more moderate. The big problem is that, of course, Biden is considered a moderate, and because he is considered a moderate, it is probable that they would then react by saying, well, you know, he was too moderate. That's the reason he lost. If only we'd been bigger and bolder. That is the way that parties typically react to this sort of stuff. I mean, it took the Democrats like 20 years to realize that running George McGovern in 1972 was a real bad idea, right? They ran Walter Mondale in 1984. They ran Michael Dukakis in 1988. It took until 1992 and a quote-unquote moderate Democrat named Bill Clinton for Democrats to realize that they had skewed way too far to the left and they'd lost the American people in the process. If Trump is reelected, I think the Democrats will continue to run to the left, and that'll open up a lot of opportunities for Republicans. The truth is that the middle is basically wide open right now. If Trump were a more, I would say, theoretical politician, if you really understood the theory of politics better, I think that he'd be tacking much more to the middle than he has been, because the Democrats have really opened that place up wide. Biden is trying to maintain the middle while at the same time making overtures to the wild left, and Trump is trying to expose that right now. At the same time, I do wonder if Trump should actually embrace the Biden strategy. Like, go hide in the basement for a couple months, let Biden gaff it up and then win.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the call, Jacob. Thanks so much. Yep. Miranda in Texas, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Miranda.
Yes. Hey, Ben. Sorry. Do you think the Democrats are going to steal the 2020 election?
I think that it depends. Are we talking about, like, if this thing is real close? If this thing is real close, I think the mail-in ballots are going to be a real problem. And they have been a real problem in the past. Right. This is why when Trump puts focus on the mail-in ballots, which are going to come in weeks after the fact, when you have a district in New York that used mail-in ballots, and we are now like 6 weeks removed from that election, and they still have not tallied all the ballots, it could be an absolute mess. I think that if it's a large-scale loss for Trump, they won't have stolen it. So I think that would I put it past any political party, but particularly the Democrats, to suddenly discover ballots? Not really. I mean, back in 2000, I'm old enough to remember when Al Gore suggested a revote only in the counties where he was winning. In Florida. I'm old enough to remember when Norm Coleman lost his Senate seat based on Al Franken's people finding 350 marked ballots like 2 weeks after the election that were all marked for Franken. So, again, I think that corruption, election corruption does exist. I think it's why honestly, as an American, you sort of root for larger margins in elections because you don't want the election undermined by very, very tight elections. But this is the big problem is right now, if this thing is close and it goes to the Democrats, Republicans are going to doubt the veracity of the election. If it's close and it goes to Republicans, Democrats are going to doubt the veracity of elections. I mean, it doesn't even have to be that close, frankly, for Democrats to doubt the veracity of elections. Stacey Abrams is going around claiming that she's governor of Georgia. She lost by 55,000 votes. That is not a close election, Miranda.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, none of this is good for the country, obviously. We don't have a lot of faith in each other right now, and that's pretty ugly. All righty. Coming up, we're going to jump into the gaffes that have been plaguing this election. Apparently, gaffes are very, very bad when Trump does them, but they are very, very okay when Joe Biden does that. The media just covering for Joe Biden in a wide variety of ways. Plus, we'll bring you the update on the economics report. A lot of jobs picked up last month, like 1.8 million jobs. The recovery is underway so long as government gets out of the way. Unfortunately, government's not going to get out of the way, but Andrew Cuomo now announcing that he wants to slap Bill de Blasio around by reopening New York State schools. That is the wonder of New York, is that Cuomo hates de Blasio enough, he'll morph into Ron DeSantis just to slap around the giant communist groundhog killer. We'll get to that coming up. In the meantime, pick up a copy of my brand new book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. Makes for some easy and fun weekend reading. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. No deal on COVID-19 relief. Both sides blaming each other for stall talks. President Trump says if lawmakers can't get anything done, he'll take executive action himself on things like unemployment and student loans.
We're going to enhance unemployment benefits through the end of the year. So unemployment benefits will be, that's a big one, will be brought out to the end of the year and defer student loan payments and forgive interest until further notice.
Mr. Trump also says his administration will temporarily suspend the federal payroll tax for the rest of the year. A funeral service held Friday for former presidential candidate Herman Cain, who died last week at the age of 74 of COVID-19. Cain's pastor, Kenneth Alexander, said the former presidential candidate and businessman was guided by his Christian faith in politics, business, and in his personal life. A social media post has prompted Liberty University's Jerry Falwell Jr. to take a leave of absence.
Amid criticism over a since-deleted photo he posted on social media, Jerry Falwell Jr. is taking an indefinite leave of absence as president and chancellor of Liberty University. In a statement, Liberty University says the executive committee of the school's board of trustees, acting on behalf of the full board, met Friday and requested Falwell take leave, to which he agreed.
Falwell has served as president since 2007 at the university. That was founded by his evangelist father, the late Reverend Jerry Falwell. Canada's deputy prime minister says the country plans to impose $3.6 billion Canadian dollars, that's $2.69 billion in U.S. dollars, in tariffs on U.S. imports in response to President Trump saying that the U.S. is reinstating a 10% import tax on Canadian aluminum. More news and analysis at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The United States added 1.8 million jobs in July as unemployment fell to 10.2%.
The economy has recovered about half of the 22 million jobs it lost to the pandemic-induced recession, according to the Labor Department's new jobs report. The unemployment rate fell last month from 11.1% to 10.2%, though still exceeds the highest rate during the 2008-2009 Great Recession. In July, manufacturing added 26,000 jobs, restaurants, hotels, and entertainment venues gained 592,000, and retail added 258,000 jobs. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
The Trump administration lifted its level 4 health advisory to Americans against all international travel because of the coronavirus pandemic, saying conditions no longer warrant a blanket worldwide alert. There are still, though, about 20 locations where restrictions remain in effect, and they're listed on the State Department's website. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. President Trump has followed through with his threat to ban TikTok and another Chinese-owned app.
Trump is calling on the Commerce Department to define what is banned when the orders take effect in 45 days. Even Apple or Google hosting these apps might be a violation. This week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo spoke of alleged security threats from Chinese technology, but some legal analysts are questioning the basis for a ban on social media apps. TikTok says it doesn't store U.S. user information in China and doesn't share information with the Chinese government. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
U.S. consumer borrowing rose in June after 3 months of declines, but a key category of credit card debt extended its decline. The pandemic still has Americans easing off the plastic. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Have been wearing T-shirts suggesting that people vote for her opponent in the Georgia senatorial race. Shocker. Who could have predicted such a thing? And clearly, Senator Loeffler is in the WNBA simply for the profit-making potential. That's clearly why she's there. The WNBA fan will be very, very upset, I'm sure. But we'll get to that in a little bit. First, we need to talk about the focus on gaffes. So the difference between how the media focus on Trump's gaffes versus how they focus on Biden's gaffes is absolutely astonishing. I mean, truly astonishing. The media have covered themselves in glory this year, have they not? Between suggesting that Trump ought to be impeached for a crime that was not proved, and the media suggesting for years on end that Trump was colluding with Russia, and the media suggesting that Andrew Cuomo is a good governor while Ron DeSantis is a bad governor, and the media suggesting that if you protest against lockdown, you're evil, but if you protest for George Floyd, you're good in the middle of a pandemic. They've really done an amazing job. Our media are between them suggesting that mostly violent evenings are actually mostly peaceful protests, and that Seattle and Portland are just wellsprings of democracy. They are just, I can't imagine why Americans distrust the institutional media. Well, let's look at the media's differential treatment of the various gaffes by the candidates. So yesterday, Trump had a couple of gaffes. Both of them were effectively meaningless. Both of them were not particularly important. Joe Biden had one pretty major gaffe, and the media just completely overlooked it. So let's start with Trump. Trump's a very bad man. He's a bad man. We know this because he's bad and orange. He's Orange Hitler, as we know. Well, that means that if Trump says something like Thailand, he doesn't say Thailand, he says Thailand, And that means he's a bad man, right? Like the wall-to-wall coverage of Trump saying Thailand, which, by the way, he corrected within 5 seconds, was insane yesterday. Here was Trump talking about Thailand.
In 2017, Whirlpool won relief from the ITC once again. Once more, your foreign competitors moved their factories to prevent the level playing field and to avoid liability, shifting production to Thailand and to Vietnam. Thailand and Vietnam, two places that I like their leaders very much. They're very nice to us. Do they take advantage of the United States? But not so much anymore.
So the media go off on this. They go off. How could he say Thailand? It's crazy. Wall-to-wall coverage of Trump saying Thailand. Now, let's be real about this. That's funny. I mean, like 2 days ago, he did say Yosemite, and he's talking about Yosemite. So I want a travel show hosted by President Trump just botching the names of places. Now, I will acknowledge that President Obama had this weird habit where he would suddenly shift into the particular pronunciation of countries based on what he thought they should be. So instead of saying Pakistan, he'd say Pakistan. He just randomly shifted into Pakistan. But Donald Trump, Thailand, I mean, it sounds like a strip club, does it not?
I'm going to head on over to Thailand. I'm going to watch Stormy over at Thailand. It'll be unbelievable. Three favorite countries, Thailand, China, Djibouti.
So funny, meritorious of wall-to-wall coverage? I think not. Other things that Trump said that received wall-to-wall coverage. So Trump yesterday was riffing about Biden, and he was pointing out that he has a fairly anti-religious agenda, which is true. I mean, this is a man who tried to prevent the Little Sisters of the Poor from having to engage with Obamacare's contraceptive coverage. Like, he wanted nuns to pay for contraceptive coverage, Joe Biden. And Joe Biden wants all of his leftist social prescriptions to be enforced over religious institutions. So Trump, in the main, is not wrong here, but because Trump, when he speaks and when he riffs, he says kind of the most obvious and silly forms of things. He says that Biden wants to hurt God. Now, there's not a religious person in America who thinks that Biden is capable of hurting God. God, it turns out, is all-powerful, all-knowing, and omnipresent. So there are a few things, but is this like a major, huge, earth-shaking gaffe? Of course not. Received wall-to-wall coverage anyway.
You will have a crash in the markets because he's going to double and triple your taxes. He's going to do things that nobody ever would ever think even possible because he's following the radical left agenda. Take away your guns, destroy your Second Amendment, no religion, no anything, hurt the Bible, hurt God. He's against God. He's against guns. He's against energy, our kind of energy.
Okay, so when he says that kind of stuff, everybody in the media is like, he said Biden's going to hurt God. He's ripping on Biden's religion. Barack Obama in 2008 said people who oppose him are bitter clingers who cling to God and guns and religion and xenophobia. And the media covered that up. And meanwhile, Joe Biden is out there saying, like, actual bad things, and people are acting like they're not bad things. So a couple days ago, Biden suggested that black people are not diverse. Black people all think the same to Joe Biden. Here was Joe Biden a couple of days ago. And then I'm going to tell you what the headlines said about what Joe Biden said, because they are not accurate. Here's Joe Biden yesterday.
You all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
Unlike black people, Latinos are diverse, guys. Unlike black people, Latinos are... Okay, so that's what he said. And then, later that day, he doubled down on it. He said the exact same thing again. Now, people ignored the second clip. Because the second clip, I mean, he's wearing a different tie, a different shirt, the whole deal. The second clip, Joe Biden says exactly the same thing over again, which is not a gaffe. That's just a position. Here is Joe Biden again suggesting black people are not diverse.
We can build a new administration that reflects the full diversity of our nation and the full diversity of Latino communities. Now, when I mean full diversity, unlike the African-American community and many other communities, you're from everywhere, from Europe, from tip of South America, all the way to our border in Mexico and in the Caribbean.
He said it like 1,000 times. Like yesterday, he said 1,000 times that black people aren't diverse, which is pretty incredible, right? Here's the media coverage of Joe Biden's gaffe. Okay, Politico headline. Joe Biden contrasted the black and Latino communities in remarks on Wednesday, stating that the latter is incredibly diverse. The headline is not that he said Latinos are incredibly diverse. The headline is that he said black people are not diverse. That's the headline. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. It'd be like, remember that time when Joe Biden gaffed and he said that basically all poor people are black? Remember that? He said, there's a difference between poor people and white people. Remember he said that? a headline there is that he's saying that all black people are poor, not that white people are rich. Okay, so the media are deliberately missing the point of what he's saying. Deliberately. And that was the headline over at Politico. Then there was the headline over at AP. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden faces new scrutiny over how he discusses race and ethnicity after drawing distinctions between black and Hispanic populations in the United States. So the headline was, again, that Biden faces scrutiny. It's the scrutiny he's facing over drawing distinctions between blacks and Hispanics. We have no idea what exactly the distinctions were from that headline. The headline is designed to obscure what exactly he said. At this point, the media are just covering for him. By the way, it was Biden's suggestion that poor kids are just as smart as white kids. Right? That was what he said. So the headline there would have been him basically saying that only white kids are smart. Right? But the media presumably would headline that Biden says white kids are smart, but ignores the implication, obviously. But CNN's headline, by the way, on this thing, their chyron was, Trump claims that Biden insulted black community. You see, the headline should not be what Biden actually said. The headline is that Trump said something about what Biden actually said. The media are so far in the tank for Biden, it's absurd. Absurd. And that means that Biden can get away with pretty much anything. Almost nearly anything, because the media will cover for him no matter what, under all crazy circumstances. Again, he said the same thing twice yesterday, and they just acted like it never happened. But Trump said Thailand, and it's a major headline for 2 days. And meanwhile, Joe Biden's policies are incoherent. He said yesterday that he was going to stop China. How is he going to stop China's malfeasance? By going to the United Nations, which makes no sense because China's on the Security Council. There's Joe Biden, again, being an idiot.
You may recall I was the first one to say we should act and go to the United Nations with the Uyghurs. I believe the first one, period. We should be in the United Nations condemning China's action. They're concentration camps. They're concentration camps.
Okay, so he'll say they're concentration camps, but he won't actually do anything about any of this. So that is, again, good stuff from Joe Biden. Joe Biden says he's tough on China. Also, I'm going to go to the Security Council where China sort of runs the place. Meanwhile, Joe Biden controversially saying that he would bring back lockdowns if he were the president. Again, Democrats rooting for lockdowns. Here's Joe Biden suggesting he's bringing... By the way, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he's going to reopen the schools. We'll get to that in a second. But Joe Biden is saying lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. Like, why is he not being asked serious questions about why he would bring back lockdowns, how that would improve things, whether lockdowns have worked, and what he means to do for the American economy? Instead, he's just allowed to sail above all of this by changing his tie and living in the basement. Here is Joe Biden saying he's bringing back lockdowns.
So based on what you see now, would you roll back the reopenings?
I'm not going to speculate on that because I don't know what it's going to be. What I see now, I think we are. If I were president today, I would roll back the reopenings in a number of places. Because look, it's clear, mask and social distancing make a gigantic difference in terms of the spread of this disease.
Dude's got nothing. He's got nothing. And the media are covering for the fact that dude has nothing. It's pretty amazing to watch, really. Now, meanwhile, Biden is still awaiting his VP pick. Apparently, it is still a fluid situation. People don't know who he's picking. Apparently, three candidates are still seen as top ones in contention. Kamala Harris, Karen Bass, and advisor Susan Rice. Rice is the only one who's never held elected office. I think he'll pick Rice. He says that Kamala Harris is still a possibility. He'd be a fool to pick Kamala Harris. She has no traction whatsoever. She had no traction in the primaries. She's widely disliked. She's obnoxious. Mike Pence will stomp her at a debate, at a VP debate. I mean, Mike Pence is fairly good at this. He really took it to Tim Kaine last time around. Kamala Harris is very vulnerable in debate, as she showed multiple times. Frankly, it's amazing that Biden boxed himself in with the I need a black female routine. He really didn't. He didn't at all, actually. And so now he's boxed himself into a couple of bad candidates. Here was Biden suggesting that Kamala Harris is in the mix.
Senator Chris Dodd reportedly has been critical of some in contention, like Senator Kamala Harris, for not being more conciliatory since she went toe-to-toe with you during the debates. He says that's a reason she should be disqualified. Is that fair?
No, well, he didn't say that to the press. He was talking to somebody offline, and it was repeated. Now, I don't hold grudges, and I made it really clear that I don't hold grudges. I think it was a debate. It's as simple as that, and she's very much in contention.
And so we'll see who Joe Biden picks. the thing that's weird about this is that all of the people he's talking about are significantly more radical than he wants to portray himself as. And a VP pick has never mattered more because dude's not all there, he's really old, and there is a good suggestion that his VP will succeed him. You can see that there's a conflict in whatever is left of the brain of Joe Biden. There's a report out today about who's going to get to speak at the convention. According to The Week, the DNC has set aside just 2 hours every night from August 17th to 20th for the convention, where Biden will accept the nomination. This has led the Biden campaign to make ruthless cuts to some of the high-profile Democrats. So Barack and Michelle are going to get speaking gigs. Bill and Hillary will get speaking gigs as well. Some people are worried about spotlighting Bill. They should be more worried about spotlighting Hillary, who's deeply unpopular. Apparently, AOC is not going to get to speak, but they've reserved some space for John Kasich and Bernie Sanders, because the demand for John Kasich is real high. People definitely need to hear from that guy. So Biden is trying to disassociate. He's trying to move away from the AOC wing of the party, but simultaneously he's embracing some of the more radical members of his party. That's why I think he's probably going to end up with Susan Rice. He's going to assume people don't know anything about her. There's a lot to go after Susan Rice for, a lot to go after, and she's about to find that out in a pretty major way. All right, in a second, we're going to be getting to the NRA being targeted by the New York Attorney General, purely a political move. First, at the beginning of the COVID lockdowns, I thought that there was a real chance for unity. After all, I mean, this was a global pandemic. It was putting a lot of people at risk. That ended pretty quickly. Now, many in the radical left and their media allies are starting to exploit the crisis to advance their radical agenda for the country. As we'll get to in a second, Michelle Obama is openly stating that we should reshift how wealth is done in the United States. That's why I'm happy to see my friends over at FreedomWorks stand up to this nonsense and fight to keep the United States open. If you want to help them do it, please text Ben, that's my name Ben, to 41490 and sign their petition. The truth is, once the states have started to reopen, the economy started to recover, you start to see Democrats quickly mobilize in order to stop the reopening. It's why there are a lot of Democrats trying to bully governors into shutting down their states again. California and Pennsylvania have closed down again. We're starting to see cities, counties, states imposing lockdowns and putting in place insane fines. Americans are smart enough to take the precautions they need in order to keep themselves safe and to reopen in smart and responsible fashion. If you want to help FreedomWorks accomplish this, help them by texting Ben to 41490. Petition your governor to keep your state open. Text Ben to 41490 and help work to keep the United States economy open and get us all back to work. Text Ben to 41490. Help out my friends over at FreedomWorks. Already coming up, Michelle Obama lets the cat out of the bag with regard to her agenda when it comes to COVID. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
As a kid, I wanted to explore every inch of the world, but then I contracted bacterial meningitis. My kidneys shut down, my spleen burst, both of my legs were amputated below the knees. But I didn't give up on my dreams. I medaled in the Paralympics, I'm a motivational speaker, published author, Dancing with the Stars runner-up, and training to compete in the next Paralympic Games. Help kids live their dreams, just like me. Put your money where the miracles are. Give to your Children's Miracle Network Hospital.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Democrats rooting for lockdown. Joe Biden making it perfectly obvious. So today he tweeted out, quote, President Trump called Arizona a model for applying a science-based approach to the decrease in cases and hospitalizations without implementing a punishing lockdown. He said Governor Ducey's approach should be used by other states. But here's what's really happening in Arizona. Governor Ducey is rushing reopening without adequate testing and contact tracing. He's withholding support for increased testing and making local leaders plead for it. He's refusing to implement a mask mandate and turning his back on older Americans and those at greater risk. Here's how COVID-19 affected Arizonans under Trump. Ducey model. An infection rate still of nearly 20%. The fifth highest number of current hospitalizations in the country. More than 4,000 deaths from COVID-19. More than 183,000 cases. Lengthy delays in test results. So Biden is just lying about what's going on in Arizona. They've hit the other side of the curve. Not only have they hit the other side of the curve, their death rate in Arizona per 100,000 is one-third that of New Jersey and New York. As John Gabriel of Ricochet points out, Biden and the Democrats keep rooting for Arizonans to die. Sorry, Joe, we aren't New York. Cuomo's New York has 168 deaths per 100,000 residents. Murphy's New Jersey has 178 deaths per 100,000 residents. Arizona has 55. Arizonans shut down the surge we had in June. The highest number of COVID cases was 39 days ago. The highest hospital bed usage 31 days ago. The highest COVID death report was 21 days ago. That's why Arizona is a model, Joe. It's why the national press stopped focusing on us, because Arizona succeeded. John Gabriel says, if you want Arizona to go blue, stop rooting for our deaths. Also, you haven't visited us in over a year. Maybe your staff can ship you in your basement out here. I'll even buy you a coffee. I mean, it's incredible. The Democrats keep claiming that states like Texas, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, that these are disaster areas. They are not. They are not. But they are rooting for Republican states to fail so they can blame Republicans and they can blame Trump. It's really, really screwed up. Like, we should be celebrating the fact that any state was able to keep open and flatten the curve. That is good news. As Comfortably Smug puts it on Twitter, the number of ICU beds in use by COVID patients is now at the lowest point since June 20th. The percentage of inpatient visits with COVID-like illnesses has dropped four consecutive weeks from 21% on June 28th to 7% for the most recent weeks, the lowest percentage since May 24th. And this is just, it's just gross. It's just gross. But it seems as though there is another agenda at play. Michelle Obama made that other agenda obvious yesterday. So Michelle Obama getting increasingly political. So she's following the Hillary Clinton pattern of first ladies. She was very political when she entered office. She realized that was unpopular. She's gotten pretty apolitical. She wrote a very popular book about her life. She's become sort of an Oprah-like figure. And now she's moving back into being political. So she did a graduation speech a couple of weeks ago where she suggested that for many Americans, there was no opportunity to get ahead, no matter how many good decisions you made, which is essentially a lie. And now she's saying that COVID's a great opportunity to reshift how we think about wealth in this country.
That's a part of that reflection that we need to do, you know, with ourselves and as a community. And we have to think about that in terms of how wealth is distributed, you know, how these essential people are supported and what does that mean? A lot of these people are broke.
So that means that it's time to reshift how we think about all this stuff. Now, here's the thing. Democrats don't actually want to pass legislation to benefit those people right now. So Republicans have caved on nearly everything. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is trying to reach a deal with Nancy Pelosi. That deal would include trillions of dollars spent on a wide variety of Democrat pet causes. Republicans have even caved on such things as, let's fund state and localities. Okay, they shouldn't cave on that. The states and the localities should be paying for themselves. They're the ones who signed bad union contracts. It ain't the fault of a taxpayer in Texas that Bill de Blasio signed a crappy union contract in New York. Nonetheless, Republicans are caving because they understand it's important to get the money out the door fast. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi's holding this stuff up. And when asked tough questions, Nancy Pelosi just says that members of the media are biased against her, like Judy Woodruff. Yes, I'm sure Judy Woodruff of PBS NewsHour is really biased in favor of Trump. Here's Nancy Pelosi getting very snippy when asked a basic question about her program.
And they're also saying a lot of the money that was passed in the spring, Madam Speaker, has not even been spent yet.
Well,
so
if you want to be an advocate for them, Judy, if you want to be an advocate for them,
no, I'm,
let's know
I'm,
what the facts are.
I'm playing
are.
Devil's advocate
no,
here
no,
to ask you for your position.
I mean, truly incredible. If you want to be an advocate, Judy Woodruff is not being an advocate for Republican positions. She's pointing out that a lot of the money that already went out the door was not spent, and now you're asking for more money, which seems super political. Here's the game that's being played. Democrats like the lockdowns. By and large, they are very much in favor of the lockdowns because it flatters their priors, which is that the government should take care of everybody. Then they're blocking Republicans from doing minor things, not even minor, pretty major things, to help people get through this period so they can blame Trump and the Republicans and call them intransigent and suggest that they are the obstacles to anybody being able to earn a living. It's really cynical, it's really obvious, and it's really ugly. I think the Democrats will pay the price for this. Every American needs to know it's Nancy Pelosi holding up the works again. Again, it's Democrats simultaneously stumping for lockdown and then preventing any bipartisan deal from going through that would alleviate the effects of the lockdown, which is pretty sick. Meanwhile, rooting for bad stuff to happen in Arizona, Texas, Georgia, and Florida, while ignoring California, New York, New Jersey. Already coming up, we're going to be talking with Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia. She's enmeshed in a pretty hot race in Georgia. We'll talk about it with her coming up. Plus, controversy in the WNBA. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for a screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to us.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Brian Britton, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
He flew fighter jets in two wars and taught you how to drive a car. He fed everyone on the block but never shared his secret recipes. And every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect. With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect, honor, share. StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia. She was appointed by Governor Brian Kemp to fill the vacant Senate seat in January of 2020, member of the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs, Committee on Health, Education, Labor and Pensions, Committee on Agriculture, a bunch of other committees. Senator, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Great to be here, Ben. Thank you.
So why don't you give us first sort of a broad overview of what's going on in the state of Georgia politically? There's been a lot of worry in Republican circles that Georgia seems to be running close. Obviously, Brian Kemp won a solid but somewhat narrow victory over Stacey Abrams in the last gubernatorial race. There's been some talk about the possibility that Georgia is turning blue. What do you make of that?
Well, Ben, what I make of that is the Democrats want to put Georgia in play, and Georgians know that conservative values are the best way to lift all Georgians up, all Americans, frankly. That's what we're there fighting for, and we're going to run hard and keep the Senate in Republican hands and keep both Georgia's Senate seats in Republican hands while we help reelect the president.
So, Senator Loeffler, you've come under a lot of fire from the media for supposedly engaging in corrupt behavior. I hope you can explain this, because there are a lot of people in the media who see the immediate headline and they don't see any of the follow-up. So the original reports by the media suggested that you had taken advantage of COVID in order to make money, which is absurd considering how wealthy you are. But maybe you can explain exactly what happened in the original media coverage and then what the media coverage didn't really follow up with.
Well, Ben, thanks for asking. And first of all, you see what the leftist media has done to the president and his family, frankly. They produce fake news headline after fake news headline. Unfortunately, that continues down into the Senate in my race. And obviously, the Daily Beast writes one article and they're off to the races. I've been completely exonerated by every single agency that looked at this, and it was ridiculous. It never distracted me from working for Georgians. And in fact, I think everyone knows this is exactly the playbook that they have with the president, and that's what they're trying to do to bring me down. They don't like conservative businesswomen because they know that we're there to get stuff done. And that's why I've been able to, run in first place in my race right now. We've got 21 folks on the ballot in November in what's called a jungle general. And I'm going to keep being the leading conservative voice for our state.
So, Senator Loeffler, you've been in the news a lot lately because you are the owner of the Atlanta Dream, a WNBA team, which I assume that you don't own simply because it is a profit-seeking enterprise. I assume that that's more of a charitable enterprise for you. And yet you've spoken out against the Black Lives Matter organization, pointing out that they are, in fact, neo-Marxist and radical. This has earned you the ire of some of the players for the Atlanta Dream and people in the WNBA. Can you explain what's going on in this controversy?
Well, you know, Ben, I own a sports team because of my belief that sports has the power to unite people. Nothing can bring folks together, I think, from diverse walks of life, unite behind a championship or a team, whether it's a small town or a city. And so I think this moment, you know, sports could be an incredibly powerful, has great ability to bring our country together and unite during these challenging times. I mean, the middle of a pandemic, an economic crisis, social unrest. And yet the WNBA decided that they would stand with this Black Lives Matter political organization, not the statement. We all agree with the statement. But this organization, when you look behind the curtain, it has Marxist foundations. They promote violence. They want to defund the police. They started the defund the police movement. And so what I did was speak up and said, why don't we make sure that we also put a flag on our uniforms and remember that we're all Americans. We all want the best for each other to promote the ideals of freedom and equality. And not only did they not do that, but the league has walked out, not required being present on the court for the national anthem. And I really spoke out and was threatened to lose my team for that. And now they're wearing T-shirts that say vote for my opponent. So it's really exposed that this is all about politics.
I have noticed that you don't run the team on a day-to-day basis because obviously you're in the Senate. You're not in control of the team. I've noticed that none of the players on the Atlanta Dream who are wearing T-shirts urging people to vote for your opponent have stopped taking your checks, I see.
Indeed not. But, I think, bigger picture is I really am saddened to see that sports are willing to enter the political arena when particularly in such a partisan way. Again, if you think back, sports has such power to unite us. The fact that Stacey Abrams is on the Players Association committee and she's endorsed my opponent, and they're now using it as a fundraising mechanism. So I just think it's a really cautionary tale for the intersection of sports and politics. And I think we're, walking away from this moment to use the power of sports to unite us. And I hope we'll circle back and try to make sure that conservatives are welcome in sports, too.
We're speaking with Senator Kelly Loeffler. Do you think that there is a future for your ownership in the WNBA, or is this moving in sort of the direction of an irrevocable breach?
No, look, I'm not going to be canceled by this moment. I've worked to make sure that sports are that kind of uplifting, uniting thing that they can be. I think we should have a lot of tolerance within sports. So I think it's important that my voice is in sports for those that don't have a voice. And in fact, you've heard athletes using their voices as well in this discussion, whether it's Herschel Walker, Charles Barkley, Marcellus Wiley, others have spoken out. I think we have to use our platforms to make sure that Americans know that we will stand up and speak out for them. Because, look, people's jobs are at stake. I mean, you saw a football coach, lose his job because he tweeted Trump is president. This is unacceptable. It's un-American. It doesn't represent the best of our democracy. And we have to stand up in these moments.
We're speaking with Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia. So, Senator Loeffler, in the meantime, there's a lot of discussion on Capitol Hill right now about the next sort of tranche of, I hesitate to call it a bailout because it really is not. It's essentially trying to fill in people who've been barred from work. Democrats are being extraordinarily intransigent. Republicans, it seems, have given on nearly every front, particularly inside the Trump administration. The original Republican proposal was a $1 trillion package that was designed to extend unemployment benefits, as well as pay for a few sort of odd items. Democrats responded with a $3.4 trillion package. Republicans have caved on a lot of this. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats refused to even bring up the Republican bill for a vote. Where do we stand on getting some sort of help to Americans who are being barred from work by COVID?
Well, unfortunately, we stand far apart. I was on the phone this morning with the White House, with Secretary Mnuchin. They are working very, very hard to try to bring us together. Unfortunately, you know, Pelosi has really drawn this line in the ground that if $3 trillion is the opening bid here, and, you know, that will only slow down the recovery here. And when we talk about $3 trillion, the vast majority of that is not about getting us back on our feet after the pandemic. This is about checks to illegal immigrants. It's paying people more to stay home than to go to work. It's ballot harvesting. It's marijuana banking. I mean, it's everything. It's their vision to transform America. So, you know, we're trying to hold the line on that. We are going to hold the line on that. But we are miles apart right now.
Senator Loeffler, have you seen, as much as I have, the politicization of the response to COVID? So Georgia originally was raked over the coals because Governor Kemp was suggested going to kill millions of Georgians through COVID. Of course, the COVID rates in Georgia have not even remotely approached situation in New Jersey or New York. And in fact, it seems like Georgia has now come down the other side of the curve. Nonetheless, you see people who are protesting at the reopening of the University of Georgia for students, despite the fact that among Georgians 18 to 29, I believe there have been a grand total of 11 deaths from COVID during this entire period. What do you make of the renewed push for lockdown in a time when it appears that our hospitals have been able to cope? It seems to me that the original lockdown policies were designed to prevent the overwhelming of the curve. The curve has not been overwhelming the hospital system. Why do you think this has gotten so political?
Well, it's an election year, but we cannot lock down the economy again. I think we will look back and say, you know, we learned a lot from that. Let's not do it again. And in fact, we're reopening the economy. I've had about a dozen and a half Delta flights in the last 3 months, and each flight has been gradually fuller. The airports are getting fuller. We've got to get the economy back on its feet. This is costing lives not to have the economy open. People are not getting important medical care that they need. It's costing livelihoods. I mean, you know, thank goodness jobs are coming back. But, you know, the incentive to stay home right now, if we maintain high levels of unemployment insurance, are really going to create long-term economic disaster. And so that's what we've got to focus on. The Governor Kemp here in Georgia did a fantastic job getting our economy opened back up safely. And, you know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to look forward and say, how do we live with this? We don't know when we're going to get, you know, any kind of treatments or vaccines. We have to assume that we need to find ways to cope and be safe in the meantime.
Well, Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia, really appreciate your time. Really appreciate you standing up. Appreciate you standing up for American principles, despite the slings and arrows of people who would prefer not to. And good luck in your race, obviously.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to be getting to the Minneapolis Star Tribune endorsing Ilhan Omar's opponent. Kind of a shocker. We'll get to that in just a second. First, you may have noticed that everything is supremely depressing. Not a lot of reasons to smile lately, but there will come a time when you will want to smile anew, when the smile will break out on that beautiful face. You want to make sure that smile looks good, that your teeth don't look completely bizarre and out of place like a 17th century French soldier. Instead, what you want are candid clear aligners. They're comfortable, removable, totally invisible, unlike wire braces. You can transform your smile without anyone noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like other companies. And with some of those other companies, you may never hear from a doctor as you go through treatment, which is ridiculous. With Candid, your treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan. So you're not going to have to worry about how you're doing because you're going to know. The average Candid treatment is just 6 months. You'll start seeing results way before then. It costs an average of 50% less than Invisalign. If you're prepared to take your first step toward getting your dream smile that you can't wait to show off, get started today from the comfort of your own home with Candid's risk-free starter kit and $75 off. Go to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. That is CandidCO.com/Ben. Code Ben for your risk-free starter kit and $75 off. CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. All righty, coming up, we're going to be getting to the Minneapolis Star Tribune basically endorsing the opponent for Ilhan Omar, which is pretty shocking considering how far left the Minneapolis Star Tribune is. It's that moment. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Are you drowning in IRS?
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
To his race, one grounded in helping resolve disputes to move forward, a skill this country is much in need of. While Omar wants to lead a movement, Melton Mew seeks to serve the 5th District. Omar's opponent is a descendant of emancipated slaves, a graduate of University of Virginia Law School. Omar last won the district with 78% of the vote in 2018. But the Star Tribune says that her time in Congress has been a disaster. They say Omar's 2018 victory launched her into the national spotlight as the first Muslim woman and first refugee elected to Congress, but her time has been marred by missteps, including remarks on Israel widely regarded as anti-Semitic, an outsized number of missed votes, and campaign finance issues. It's just these kinds of ethical distractions that the 5th District could do without. In the editorial board interview, Omar took little responsibility for her rocky start, instead largely blaming her critics and saying her failing was perhaps in not realizing what a special unicorn she would be in Congress. So they endorsed Omar's opponent. Now, is that going to make a difference in the race? We'll find out. But the fact that the Star Tribune is finally acknowledging that Omar has corruption issues, kind of telling. Now, meanwhile, horrible story out of Alexandria, Virginia. No shock that when you let criminals out of prison early, they go and do criminal things. I've been noticing that the crime rates have been going up concomitant with mayors all over the United States ending bail, like in New York, or releasing people from local prisoners on the gubernatorial level in California. In Virginia, apparently, that has happened now. According to WJLA.com, the Associated Press. Police in Virginia say that a rape suspect released from jail in the wake of the COVID pandemic, Ibrahim Bulechi, went on to kill the woman who had accused him. Last week, officers found a woman shot to death. It was Alexandria's first homicide of the year. The victim was later identified as Carla Elizabeth Dominguez Gonzalez. Bulechi was indicted on rape charges last year and jailed without bond. Gonzalez testified against him in Alexandria District Court in December. When the pandemic hit, his lawyers argued he should be freed while awaiting trial because the virus endangered both inmates and their attorneys. He was tracked down by authorities Wednesday, August 5th. Alexandria police officers attached to the FBI's Regional Violent Crimes Task Force spotted him in Prince George County in Maryland. When authorities chased him, he crashed the car he was driving. He was found inside with a self-inflicted gunshot wound and was taken to the hospital for medical treatment. It turns out that when you free rape suspects because you're worried about COVID, well, oops, they go out and they murder the people that they are apparently being accused by. So who could have predicted this except for anyone, anyone at all? And meanwhile, over in New York, Letitia James is the AG. She's a very politically motivated AG. Let us flash back for just a moment to Letitia James taking office. In her opening speech, she announced that she would be targeting Donald Trump specifically, which is not what AGs are supposed to do. You don't enter office saying, I'm going to target this person. You're supposed to target criminal activity. Nonetheless, she did announce this at the time.
Never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president.
What is fueling my soul right now is Trump and his abuses. Abuses against immigrants, against women, against our environment.
We must do our job to ensure that the man currently occupying the Oval Office is held accountable to any and everything he has done.
She also said that she would be targeting the NRA. She called the NRA a terrorist group. Well, now it is no surprise that she has announced that she will, in fact, be attempting to dissolve the NRA. She says this is all about the corruption over at the NRA, but that would lead to fraud indictments for the people involved in the corruption. To dissolve the organization, which is now 160 years old, to dissolve it entirely, is merely a political attempt to destroy an organization that she opposes. Here she was yesterday announcing the charges.
Just a few minutes ago, my office filed a lawsuit against the National Rifle Association to dissolve the organization in its entirety for years of self-dealing and illegal conduct that violate New York's charities law and undermine its own mission.
Now, it's pretty obvious what exactly is going on here, and that is that 3 months before an election, she's attempting to force the NRA to swivel and spend no money on the election. That's the actual stated, pretty much the stated goal here. John Lott, who's a pro-gun advocate, pro-Second Amendment advocate, he has a piece over at Newsweek today talking about all of this, pointing out that the NRA has long been a bugaboo of people on the left who think that the NRA wields much more power than they do in terms of pure political spending. John Lott says, the state of New York has been trying to bleed the NRA dry for years. It's no coincidence they're ramping up their attacks right before the election. Shannon Watts, who runs Michael Bloomberg's Mom Demands Actions Group, has gloated the lawsuits have cost the NRA $100 million. In her lawsuit, James highlights the fact the NRA faced a financial loss of $64 million over 3 years. But given how much these legal costs dwarf those losses, that's really not the NRA's fault. The reality, as John Lott points out, is that Michael Bloomberg and other billionaires spend hundreds of millions of dollars pushing gun control, massively outspending the NRA. The NRA spent a little under $19 million on all campaigns in 2018. Michael Bloomberg invested $110 million just in congressional campaigns. And then he spent even more than that on state legislative races. So this is just an attempt to sideline the NRA just in time for an election where gun rights are definitely going to be on the ballot. I mean, Joe Biden wants to go after gun rights. He has long been a gun control advocate. If the Democrats were to regain the Senate, you'd be watching for federal gun legislation like right away. So sidelining the NRA is eminently a political ploy. President Trump responded to all this by saying that the NRA should move to Texas, which of course is true.
That's a very terrible thing that just happened. I think the NRA should move to Texas and lead a very good and beautiful life. And I've told them that for a long time. I think they should move to Texas. Texas would be a great place, or to another state of their choosing. But I would say that Texas would be a great place and an appropriate place for the NRA.
Yeah, so he is correct about this. But what we're about to watch is a rise in AGs basically targeting people they don't like, which is ugly no matter how you slice it. AGs have enormous power. People don't tend to pay much attention to the power wielded at the state level. We tend to focus on the federal government a lot. But the fact is that governors and AGs wield inordinate levels of power. If the AG decides to go after your company, they can wreck your company. So, look for Republican AGs to begin going after Planned Parenthoods and looking to dissolve them. Remember, Letitia James didn't have to move to dissolve the NRA. She could have just gone after the corruption. She could have fined the NRA. She could have forced a reorganization of the board. Instead, she wants to dissolve the organization entirely because it's incorporated in New York. Well, why should Brian Kemp and his AG not actually just do this in Georgia to Emily's List? Why exactly would Republicans refrain from abusing power in exactly the way Democrats are currently abusing power? The answer is they won't. And then you'll just get a bunch of states that basically cram down their views on what nonprofit groups should do, which is pretty terrible altogether. Meanwhile, at least in a little bit of good news, the United States did add 1.8 million jobs in the last month, which exceeded the expectations. People thought that the hiring would be less than that. That's a pullback from the gains of May and June, but they did revise up the number of jobs that had been created in May and June in the first place. The recovery is ready to go, but it ain't going to go until people begin to open up again. Speaking of which, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has announced that schools can bring children back to classrooms for the start of the school year. The good news in New York is that Cuomo hates de Blasio so much that basically no matter what de Blasio says, Cuomo will say the opposite. So I'm very much rooting for Bill de Blasio to continue to push lockdown just so that Cuomo opens up. That's exciting stuff. All righty. Well, I hope that you have a wonderful and calm weekend. In the meantime, go pick up a copy of my brand new New York Times bestselling book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps, continues to sit atop the bestseller charts. I think you'll enjoy it. Buy a copy for a liberal friend as well. Maybe we can find some unity in this dark time. In the meantime, stay safe, stay secure, and try to calm down, enjoy the weekend, and prepare for next week when we're supposed to get Joe Biden's VP nominee. Get ready for that. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. It could come down to President Trump taking executive action if Congress can't agree on the next COVID-19 relief package.
The president blamed Democratic leaders on Capitol Hill for the lack of progress in relief bill negotiations.
Tragically, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer continue to insist on radical left-wing policies.
If no agreement is reached, the president said he'll sign executive orders that defer payroll taxes and extend enhanced jobless benefits to the end of the year. His actions would also extend a moratorium on evictions and indefinitely defer student loan payments and interest. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Trump spoke with the presidents of Lebanon and France about the explosion in Beirut and let them know that 3 large U.S. aircraft filled with medical supplies, food, water, emergency responders, technicians, doctors, and nurses were on their way to Lebanon to help. Meanwhile, the president says the economy is rebounding following steep job losses from early in the coronavirus pandemic. Still a ways to go, though, in recovering from the 22 million lost jobs in March and April, even though the unemployment rate fell last month to 10.2%. Funeral services were held Friday in Atlanta for former presidential candidate Herman Cain.
Cain's pastor said the former presidential candidate and businessman was guided by his Christian faith in politics, business, and his personal life. The Reverend Kenneth Lamont Alexander made the comments at Cain's funeral on Friday in Atlanta. Cain died July 30th of complications from COVID-19. He was 74. He'd been ill with the coronavirus for several weeks. President Trump on Twitter called him a powerful voice of freedom, an American patriot, and a great friend. Keith Peters reporting.
And you can always check out the latest news, get the best analysis, both at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself.
You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. Home
Advisor. Relief Factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
A state in Mexico is banning junk food.
The legislature of Mexico's southern state of Oaxaca has approved a ban on selling high-calorie snack food to children in a bid to combat one of the world's highest rates of childhood obesity. The bill, the first of its kind in Mexico, has drawn protests from business groups. Officials in Mexico have blamed junk food and soft drinks for Mexico's shockingly high rate of deaths among middle-aged people from COVID-19. They say Mexicans die at younger age from the pandemic in part because of the country's high rates of diabetes and obesity. The law would fine shopkeepers but allow parents to approve such purchases. Keith Peters reporting.
Li Huatong is taking a two-shot lead into the weekend at the PGA Championship. Two-time defending champ Brooks Koepka two shots back in a tie for second with Jason Day and four others. Tiger Woods eight off the lead. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Liability protection from COVID-19 lawsuits remains a top priority for Senate Republicans as negotiations continue over the next relief bill.
Senator John Cornyn of Texas warns what he calls a second pandemic of litigation.
This could well keep our economy shut down.
And Cornyn says unfairly punish workers and companies providing essential services.
I just think it would be enormously unfair.
Democrats say robust liability protections would allow companies to neglect the health of the public and their workers with no fear of punishment. Bob Agnew reporting.
The city of Nagasaki in southern Japan marking the 75th anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombing on Sunday. It was the second nuclear bomb dropped by the U.S. 3 days after the attack on Hiroshima. Japan surrendered on August 15th, ending World War II and nearly a half-century aggression against its Asian neighbors. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
As Shasta County gradually reopens for business, we can all do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask when in public. Cloth face coverings help reduce the spread of germs by preventing the release of droplets when someone speaks, coughs, or sneezes. Wash your face covering often, ideally after each use or at least daily. Wash with detergent and hot water and dry on a hot cycle. Here is Shasta County Health Officer Dr. Karen Ramstrom.
Remember, wearing a face covering is not a replacement for physical distancing, frequent hand washing, and staying home when sick. Your mask protects me, and my mask protects you. Together, we can stop the spread.
For more information, including how to make your own cloth face covering, go to ShastaReady.org.
Continues in Portland. The news media continues to say it's peaceful or ignore it altogether. There's a new survey out making clear that the American people, we, are not fond of the American news media. And this includes Democrats, too, by the way. who see the news media as corrupt and biased and slanted and unfair. And let me get my thesaurus out. They're corrupt. That's the word that I like to use because it sort of takes it all in pretty well. And a new survey from fairly left-leaning outfits make it abundantly clear. Can I say abundantly clear? I think it makes it abundantly clear that our news media is just, boy, are they not, they shouldn't, and nobody, and gosh, they're awful. They are truly terrible. Good Friday to you and welcome. I hope you have a nice weekend plan that doesn't involve consuming too much news and information because it's always good to take some time away. I took a bit of time off. Actually, a couple of nights this week I took some time off. Last night out with friends, it was a friend's birthday. I mentioned yesterday Hiroshima Day and my friend Patrick's birthday, and out at a rooftop sports bar with a number of friends. We enjoyed a couple of cool beverages, buckets of bottles of Bud Light packed in ice. Very nice. That's right, bottles of Bud Light. None of this, that stuff, or foreign beer, funny colored bottles, any of that stuff. American beer. And we had a perfectly nice time. Some of this and some of that. Very nice evening, notwithstanding all the, you know, every weather report sounds like it's Stephen King film or book. It's just, it's going to be, and I love this, it's going to be 93 degrees, but it's going to feel like 345 degrees, going to feel like you're on the surface of the sun because the humidity is high. I'm like, no, it's 95 degrees, and 95 is pretty hot. And you know what it feels like when it's 95 degrees? It feels like 95 degrees. That's what it feels like. Oh, no, but it's humid. Yeah, it's 95 degrees and humid. I wish the weather report, they're trying to, it's like fake news, fake weather, fake sports. They've expanded the universe of fake news to include weather and sports. And now you can't even trust the weather. You're going to make a dinner plan for tomorrow. You want to eat outside because everybody's eating outside. It's all the rage, you know, even when it's 368 degrees. And because it's 95, but it feels like, shut up. I know what it feels like. It feels like 95, right? It feels like 95 and it's humid. That's what it feels like. But anyways, you got to make plans and you base it on the weather reports, and it's a roll of the dice. If you're a weatherman, you're right half the time, you're a hero. It's an interesting thing. It's like being a Democrat politician, except they get a little more flexibility. Now, it is, did I mention we're at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625 is the telephone number, absolutely toll-free to you. And there are some amazing audio actualities that I have for you today. That's an old radio term, actualities. Sound bites, cuts, stuff like that. And James Clyburn, I was minding my own business, doing a little research and stuff. And the news was on, and I had my, iPad with a keyboard on it. And I was on the couch and had the Jumbotron in front of me with Fox News, and I think Harris Faulkner and a group of people were on. And I was taking in my news, you know, digesting the daily dose of bile from the lunatics. And I said, you know what, I think I'm going to just turn the news off for a while. And I kept reading things on my iPad, but turned the news off for a while. So I went looking in the, you know, we'll call up the TV guide. It's all electronic, you know, it's a cable TV world. And I said, oh, TMZ, you know, the Harvey Levin and the showbiz news, right? I said, well, they've got to be talking about something innocuous enough, right? So I turned on this TMZ. It's showbiz. How complicated can it be? I turned on this TMZ, and about a minute into it, they introduced Democrat congressman and majority whip. I think they have to get rid of that title, don't they? Because, you know, that Allman Brothers and, you know, because it conjures up images of slavery. And James Clyburn is the majority of the Democrat Party whip. You have the Speaker of the House. That's Nancy Pelosi. She's lost her mind. Her mind is melted down, probably because of the surgeries or the injections or something like that. And then the Steny Hoyer, who's like 122. He's the number two guy in the House and the leader. And then James Clyburn is the whip. And that's just a racist term, and I don't think they should have that. And James Clyburn said some of the craziest things I've ever heard come out of a the mouth of a member of Congress about President Trump and the election, the upcoming election. And they are really spreading panic and paranoia and fear in ways that I've never seen before. It is insane, the things that they say, the things that these people are saying. Absolutely insane, berserk. And James Clark, and I literally, well, I'll get to it because it's almost impossible to believe. Now, I have those, or I will have those audio sound bites for you. And you're going to, I assume, respond the same way that I did, shaking your head and all that good stuff. James Clark, it's, you know, because last, what was it, last week or earlier this week, he was comparing President Trump, we played the audio, to Benito Mussolini. Oh, he just said Mussolini. These guys, these people are something. And Putin is Hitler, and they're playing this kind of bizarro chess game in their twisted heads. And when he went on and to entertainment news, and he was live from his congressional office or somewhere, talking to these people about Mussolini and Hitler, and these people are, I don't think, are the right people to be talking about this stuff, but it's quite remarkable, quite remarkable. And I will share it with you. Joe Biden, of course, continues to dazzle because he's a racist like everybody else in his party and like everybody in his party has always been. They're the party of lynching and slavery and racism and Jim Crow and schoolhouse doors and all that stuff, in turning the Japanese Americans. And that's okay because their slate is wiped clean every day by corrupt members of the media and academia. But Joe Biden continues to dazzle with his insanity, his racial insanity, and it's just his mental incapacity. Let's call it what it is. It's his mental incapacity, and he's stirring up a little stuff here and there because even some people on the left are beginning to notice and pay attention and say a thing or two out loud. They don't want to, so they're whispering it, and the news media, they're downplaying it. And if you're going to be critical of Biden for one sentence, you have to attack Trump in the next sentence because those are the rules of journalism, don't you know? And an amazing poll out showing that we have less and less respect for journalists and journalism, and still they don't care. There's no interest in the journalism industry, the journalism business. You can't really call it a profession. Well, I guess if you can call prostitution a profession, you can call journalism a profession. And the profession has never been at a lower ebb. And I will share with you the results of that. Oh, speaking of polls and surveys, the poll of polls, as they like to call it, from Real Clear Politics. Real Clear Politics is an organization. They look at all of the polls, and they treat each poll as though it's, you know, like a person or something. And they add up the numbers. They sort of smooth out like peanut butter the numbers from all the various polls. And they call it the poll of polls. And there's some shock in Democrat land and media land, but I repeat myself, because Joe Biden is slipping in the poll of polls, and President Trump is gaining on him in the poll of polls. And this has got their panties once again going places they don't want their panties to go. And this is going to cause a reaction, no doubt, probably an overreaction. That's usually what you get. The Real Clear Politics average of polls shows Biden currently leading Trump by 6.4 percentage points. That is, sounds like great news for the Biden people, except it is down from 9 percentage points just a couple few weeks ago, and the news media was very excited about that. He said, it's almost a double-digit lead. They can just rest on their laurels. But the lead is trimming. It is shrinking. It's shriveling up. The lead was in the pool. And well, they know what that means, don't they? And so the lead has been in the pool, and it's shrinking, and the news media is going to have to step up their game. Now, why is this? I would say there are several reasons, actually. And President Trump's campaign manager has suggested that it has something to do with the president restoring, bringing back the daily Wuhan red death briefings from the White House. And that may be a part of it. Bill Stepien, the campaign manager who took over recently, restored, brought back the daily briefings on the Wuhan Red Death. Also, I've got to say, I think President Trump, I don't want to say it out loud because I'm nervous, but I think President Trump has trimmed his sails a little bit and tightened things up and has been more focused and more disciplined. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I honestly think that he's been more focused and more disciplined for A week, maybe a little more than a week, and that I think that it works, that when you focus on a message of the day and you stick to it, that it actually gets out more effectively and it does better. There's also the fact that Joe Biden has helped a lot because he's a kook, he's a nut, he's a goof, his brain doesn't get out of first gear. And he's nuts, and he's at his core, he's a racist, because he's a Democrat, all his old Democrats, Senator Frantz, bunch of racists, everybody knows that. And Joe Biden has been doing more crazy stuff than usual, which is saying a lot, because he always does a lot of really crazy stuff. Lots and lots of really crazy stuff, that's for sure. All right, so listen, lots of audio to get to, and there are other stories. Oh, Portland, I'm sorry, I haven't gotten to Portland yet, because in Portland, Oregon, I think it's night number 71 of riots, and that is what they are correctly and fairly called. They're riots, they're violent, there's arson, there are attacks on police stations and on police and police vehicles. And last night they attacked a couple of little old women, including one that had a walker, a little old lady, like out of Laugh-In, and she came out with her walker, a walker, you know, the aluminum frame walker things, and here she comes inching forward kink with her walker, coming out into the middle of the protest, and she brought with her a fire extinguisher. I think she lives right in the neighborhood that the mob was vandalizing and looting, and I'm not sure there was looting, but there was they were setting things on fire and attacking police stations and attacking police. They brought cleats, rebar, welded rebar cleats, turned into cleats, the kind of things like the Nazis put on the beaches of Normandy to try to prevent an invasion. And they put them out in the street to puncture the tires of police cars. This little old lady with a fire extinguisher with her walker apparently lives in the neighborhood. I think she didn't come from too far away. And she wanted to put out one of the fires that they had started in a barrel in a 55-gallon drum, a metal drum. And she tried to use the fire extinguisher to put it out. And some punk, expletive, deleted, dressed all in black like a ninja terrorist. It's amazing these people are allowed to walk around like this. Confronted the woman, got in front of her, knocked her arm out of the way. I think eventually grabbed the fire extinguisher from the woman. And then there was another little old lady with the curly white hair. She probably, probably 70, maybe more than 70 years old. Little lady, and she was wearing a bright orange outfit. Probably one of her favorite outfits. It was a very nice color, and it looks very nice with her hair and stuff. And she came out. And she wanted to tell these people to stop rioting. And violent mob, which is mostly peaceful, I know I saw it in the newspaper, came at her with a gallon bucket of white paint and threw it at her. And there she is covered in white paint all over her face, on her right eye, in her hair, down her orange dress, the white paint. And some of the mob, the punks, came out with yellow, the plastic police tape, and threw it on her, kind of spun it around her. And they're just filth. They're just rabble. They're garbage. And this is the America that the Democrats are promising. This is the future that the Democrats are promising, and they would like your vote. Joe Biden, his brain is not well. James Clyburn he should be removed from his post as whip of the Democrat Party after what he said on this entertainment. And so I always talk about it, you can't get away from it. You turn off the news, you go for some light entertainment, and there are crazy, lunatic, mentally bent Democrat congressional leadership saying the most wild-eyed lunatic stuff you've ever heard out of the mouth of a member of Congress, and they keep saying it, I've got that for you. And lots of other stuff, too, because how do black people feel about police in black communities? There's a new survey out, not good news for the Democrats. And some African-American response to Joe Biden's comments of yesterday, which we played for you then, we will play for you again today, because these are really his signature moments as a presidential contender. And our news media fluffers, man, I don't know if there's enough chapstick in the world for these people. What do we have now, 87 days to Election Day? Is that right, Michael? 87 days to Election Day. And the clock is ticking out loud. It's like Marissa Tomei's biological clock. We'll be right back.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
it may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
At CDW, we get putting productivity within reach of remote employees.
That's why I'm WFC, working from couch and moving everything within arm's length, like the microwave. Lunchtime.
You should talk to the experts at CDW. They can orchestrate a more efficient workspace solution using light, powerful devices from Lenovo to keep your teams productive from anywhere, couch included.
Yeah, but do they have grabber claws?
Whoops. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Learn more at cdw.com/LenovoClient.
More than 100,000 Americans have died of the coronavirus, but you don't have to be a victim. Now, New York Times bestselling author and renowned medical doctor Chauncey Crandall reveals how you can prevent and beat the virus. In Dr. Crandall's new book, Fight Back, you can find your real risk from conditions like obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, asthma, and more. Fight Back also reveals the 3 most important things you can do to prevent the virus. Dr. Crandall shares the natural immunity boosters that fight any virus, and he details the drugs that help and the latest on a vaccine. If you have obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, or other conditions, you need to get Dr. Crandall's Fight Back. Newsmax calls it the best book on the coronavirus. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Get Fight Back in bookstores or see the free offer and save $20. Just call 800-821-3000. That's 800-821-3000. 821-3000. Or go online to fightback411.com today.
Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a teacher.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? Let's do the math. That comes out to over $1.2 billion a year. And that's just not right. At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Here's what you can do. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, history, and more. Once a request is funded, we'll take care of shipping everything directly to the teacher. It's that easy. You'll receive thank you letters and photos from students and teachers and a report of how every dollar was spent. Teachers' needs have never been greater. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Furnished by Donors Choose.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
I honestly think that Joe Biden and the Democrats, I've just got to say that the Democrat Party having a lock on the black vote in America, it's time for that to just stop. That should be over with. It should have been over with long ago. They even have a new campaign ad out we have for you this morning, pandering to the black vote, that just popped last night. Surprise, surprise, because Lunch Bucket Joe has found himself in more race trouble. And it's appalling. That's what it is. The Associated Press, and I was talking about this yesterday. I was talking about the day before yesterday because the news media Yahoo News took Joe Biden butchering the English language and reversing words, transposing words in his mind, and they came out of his mouth out of order. And the news media, when they write up the quote, they just straighten it out for him. They correct his faux pas. They correct his misuse of the language. And they don't even have to be asked to do that for him. It's, again, it's up on Cripple Creek. She sends me, if I spring a leak, she mends me. I don't have to speak. She defends me, a drunkard's dream if I ever did see one. And the news media is the drunkard's dream. It's the news media is the woman in this scenario. And the Democrat Party is the drunkard. Joe Biden is the drunkard. And here's another one, because I played the audio. You've been hearing a lot of it since we played it yesterday. I think it just emerged while we were on the air yesterday, and we played it repeatedly. The Joe Biden audio about blacks versus Latinos and how black people are a Democrat Party monolith, a lock. You don't have to do anything to get their vote because the Democrats know exactly where they are, and they don't have to be told anymore to just be Democrats and show up on Election Day and vote for Democrats. But the remarks have gotten a certain amount of attention. The media mostly defending, naturally, Joe Biden and smoothing it over for him. The Associated Press has a headline: Biden draws distinction on black, Latino political diversity. Well, he didn't say political diversity. They added the word political diversity. They added the word political. And it's because they just clean up for him. There is kind of an amusing piece today, a print piece, a cleanup on Isle Biden. Axios, left-wing people, recognizing that their guy is a joke.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell.
Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Redding. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
By the way, yes, and by the way, what you all know but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
Unlike black people. You know, some people, and I think my best girl pointed this out too, potentially the most insulting part of that whole thing is most people don't know. You know, what you all know, but most people don't know. That's a Joe Biden. He knows what most people know and what most people don't know. And it has to do with the diversity of black people. Because there are a few notable exceptions, like, Dr. Ben Carson. That's it. Outliers, Uncle Tom's. You know it. You know what we're talking about here. That's the Democrat Party. So most people don't know that the Democrat Party is the party of every racial stain on our country's history, and they continue to be that stain, and you try rubbing them out. You try scrubbing them out. Let's go to I'm going to get to James Clyburn in just a couple of minutes, but right now let's go to the telephones. Let's go to John calling from Burbank, California, beautiful downtown Burbank. John, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm great, John. What do you know?
Well, what I know is that these Democrat power brokers around the country, governors like Whitmer, Pritzker, Inslee, Brown, Newsom, Cuomo, Murphy, Wolf, Mills, Lamont, they are global Marxist disintegrators. They are here to disintegrate what once was the United States, to the point where it is so destroyed nobody recognizes it, and it must be replaced by their Marxist globalist utopia. How do you like that?
Well, yeah, look, you certainly could make a very strong and lengthy argument to that effect, given their behavior, the things that they've said,
yes.
their backgrounds, their educational backgrounds, their political backgrounds. I mean, really, just it's, you know, the lefties love to quote Maya Angelou, when people tell you who they are, believe them the first time. And that's these people are radicals. They are not mainstream Americans. They're not mainstream Democrats. They're certainly not liberals. They're leftists.
Absolutely. But the thing is, when people stand there and scratch their heads and go, what mayor would act like this, or what governor would do this to their people? A globalist Marxist disintegrator would do that, because they're doing exactly what they've been put there to do, which is disintegrate, 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 rinse, repeat, disintegrate.
You know, and they've been doing this to varying degrees, not to the degree that we're witnessing in 2020, but for decades now, they've been wrecking cities and police departments and blowing up crime rates and ruining economies. And then, of course, when they ruin everything, they step up and raise their arms in the air like a scene out of the original Manchurian Candidate, and they put themselves forward as the perfect people to fix all of the problems that we're dealing with, which they've created, of course. And then they present themselves as the saviors, as the people that can fix it all. Now, they know what's wrong with everything, because they created everything that's wrong. But you're, listen, I wouldn't argue with anything that you said. They are.
Well, I'm just saying that people, I just want to warn the people that live in these areas that, like, when they sit there and they go, what's going on? You know, somebody tell me this isn't real. You've elected a globalist Marxist disintegrator. You haven't elected a mayor. You haven't elected a governor. You've elected a disintegrator of America. They are here to destroy this country from the ground up, or from the sky down, whichever way you want to look at it. But,
and if you're a lifelong Democrat, you should disassociate yourself with these people, because these people are not lifelong Democrats. They're radicals and they're leftists. And they're anti-capitalist, they're anti-Bill of Rights, they're anti-free speech, they're anti-free practice of religion, they're anti-Second Amendment. We see this lunatic in New York now going after the National Rifle Association. I have my NRA card in my wallet right now. I whipped it out and showed it to one of my neighbors just a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact, and then I was pleasantly surprised. He's like, oh, I'm a lifetime member too. And this is in D.C., and, you know, not in the suburbs, and it was... It was a nice moment for me, actually. But these are radicals, and they're a part of the mob in the street. And look, it doesn't stop with the mayors and the governors. It goes to the Democrat leadership in Washington, D.C. Nancy Pelosi was asked about the violent mobs in the streets and the looting and the arson and the attacks on the police and courthouses and police stations, on civil society. And she said, people will do what people will do. I know, I mean, that's a true enough statement, but that's the Speaker of the House. She's really the number one Democrat, technically, in the United States of America in terms of actually holding elected office. And she said people will do what people do, which is just a brush off, a blow off. And then she started sucking food out from between her teeth again. These are not liberals. These are not what I grew up calling Democrats. These are radicals and they're leftists, and many of them certainly have, you look at Black Lives Matter. The founders of Black Lives Matter all have Marxist backgrounds. They're all radicals. They have policies. First of all, what Black Lives Matter has policies. They have a foreign policy, and they only have a foreign policy regarding one country. It's Israel, and they're against Israel. They're anti-Israel, which might, since it's the only Jewish state in the world, might lead to one being labeled an anti-Semite. They're against the nuclear family. The Black Lives Matter, and it's worked pretty well in the black community, I'd say. Look at the prison system and the school system. Destroying the family has had the desired effect that the left has looked to inflict upon, because they're anti-anything, anti-religion, because it steals power from the state. They're anti-family because it steals power from the state. They're anti-private school because it steals power from the state. Anti-vouchers for school, anti-school choice, because it steals power from the state. They want to envelop your children from the earliest possible age and indoctrinate them with the teachings that will lead them to go out in the street and pour buckets of white paint over elderly women in Portland, as they did last night, to burn Bibles, burn American flags, burn pig's heads, severed pig's head at one of the, with a police hat on it, on top of an American flag drenched in flammable liquids, and set on fire. And that's today's Democrat Party. You may remember they forgot to bring American flags to the nominating convention in 2016, where Hillary Clinton became their loser. Loser, she's a loser. John, thank you very much for the call, and thank you for being on to them and for caring. And that is true. They don't see themselves as Americans. They see themselves as globalists. They think Davos is the capital of the world, and Washington, D.C. is just something that comes after that. They are definitely radical leftist Marxists. They might reject the label Marxist, but then let's give them a quiz and see what they think, what they believe, the policies they seek to impose. And they might check all the boxes for a Marxist. They certainly check a whole lot of the boxes, no doubt about it. And they are working toward, passively and actively, disintegrating civil society, civil order, police, the thin blue line. They're anti everything that the glue that holds society together. They're looking to undo it, and that's who they are. Truly appalling stuff. John, thank you very much for the call, sir. I appreciate your thinking, caring, and contributing. Let's go to some audio, because speaking of disintegrating everything, I've been talking for years about how the Obama administration really got to work on destroying confidence in our public institutions, destroying any sense of respect and confidence. Look what he's done to the FBI. I was raised like the FBI story, Jimmy Stewart, and the TV show The FBI, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. It's a Quinn Martin production. All Ford automobiles and all that good stuff. And, the FBI, white hats till the end of time, until J. Edgar Comey and the corrupt Obama administration came along. And they have demolished any respect that I grew up with for the FBI, and it has not been regained. I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to hold people accountable in order to win my respect back, honestly. And I mean, it doesn't mean that every FBI agent or every FBI employee is a villain. It certainly doesn't mean that, because I don't generalize like that. But they have destroyed the good name, James Comey, J. Edgar Comey. And those henchmen, the flying monkeys that he had destroying the FBI and the CIA, you always got to keep an eye on them anyway. But John Brennan and the Justice Department under Obama, and look what they did with the FISA courts, and they abused the IRS to use against their political enemies, Tea Party and Patriot groups, had to pay millions of dollars in compensation. And the news media isn't even – go ask Jake Tapper about all this, and he'll say, what are you talking about? They're not even aware of this stuff. It's, who is Azra Turk? Who is Joseph Mifsud? Who is Stefan Helper? Who lured George Papadopoulos to England and then to Italy? And they don't even know what I'm talking about. They're so disconnected from the news and so disconnected from reality. It's extraordinary. And now James Clyburn, who is the number three man in the House of Representatives on the Democrat side, and the Democrats are in charge of the House of Representatives at the moment. And I mentioned that I was watching the news and I was reading more news and taking it in, through various tubes yesterday. And I said, I'm going to turn this stuff off for a little while. I'll just leave the TV parked on some mindless entertainment news. And so I turned to TMZ and Harvey Levin. And I don't know the name of the other guy who's his co-host, because I never watch TMZ. It was the first time I turned it on in, like, maybe ever, but certainly for years. And, entertainment stuff, I just don't watch a lot of that. I don't care about that stuff. There are more important things to focus on. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about TMZ. So I went on and I turned to TMZ. And just a moment after I turned it on, like, hey, we've got Congressman James Clyburn coming to us, because Congressman James Clyburn, you said the other day that Trump is Mussolini, fascist. Mussolini was a lifelong socialist, by the way, and he jumped on the fascist bandwagon, as did a whole lot of socialists, both in Italy and in Germany, the National Socialist German Workers' Party, by the way, and because there's no difference, not a lick of daylight between them. And Mussolini jumped on the fascist bandwagon because they were getting traction and his party wasn't, and these new socialists were coming along. So in any case, it's last week, James Clyburn, Democrat leadership, House of Representatives, comparing Trump and for some, they're obsessed with Putin. They really want to have sex with him, I think, to Mussolini and Hitler.
This man has taken on a strong arm tactics, and I feel very strongly.
Yeah, he's taken on strong arm tactics. That's a lie.
Mussolini, Putin, he feels Hitler.
Great.
I don't think he plans to leave the White House. He doesn't plan to have fair and unfettered elections. I believe that he plans to install himself in some kind of emergency way to continue to hold on to office.
Now, that is lunatic fringe, dark corners of the internet, what do they call it, QAnon conspiracy stuff. But this isn't some, internet troll. This guy is the number three man in the House of Representatives. So he said that, and that's why TMZ and Harvey Levin and his sidekick Charles Letitaberrier, a nice French name of some kind. Again, I never watched the show, so I don't know. But I turned on yesterday, and this is what that soundbite I just played was from last week. But that was the soundbite that prompted the TMZ people to invite him on, because they wanted to further probe the Hitler thing while they literally kill 40% of the black population in the womb while they're the party of standing in schoolhouse doors. And here's James Clyburn with Harvey Levin and his sidekick, Charles.
Your comment this week that the American people need to wake up, because President Trump is, in your eyes, a Hitler wannabe. Mussolini, and Putin is Hitler. Harkening back to the Axis powers, that's definitely gonna draw people's attention.
That's why they invited
you. Well, I think it's real. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. The facts are very clear. He says he was on the phone, what, 7 or 8 times with Putin recently?
Uh-oh.
Nobody knows what he's talking about.
Everybody
is he
knows.
Instructions from Putin?
He's getting instructions from Putin.
What are you talking about on the phone?
What are you talking about on the phone? He's getting instructions from Putin. He's nuts. It went like this.
And if you look at the way he is carrying out this presidency, you kind of see what I mean when I say Putin is Hitler and he's Mussolini.
When I said
this guy really does not plan to go quietly if he is not reelected, and if he is reelected, I don't think he would plan to go quietly because the Constitution dictates you can't serve for 2 terms. This guy intends to install himself under the emergency powers or whatever he can use to be president for life.
Right, president for life. This is the number three man in the House of Representatives, right? And as this is unhinged, and the news media is like, what? Yeah, what? Well, this is fine. This is good stuff. Harvey Levin jumps in.
If he loses the Electoral College, are there any talks? Because, look, I know Bill Maher has been talking about this for 3 years now.
Well,
so
Bill Maher.
Is there any talk about what can be done? You know, does the Secret Service get involved? Can they be directed? Can anybody be directed? Or are you saying there's no remedy here, and he just locks himself in the White House?
Well, I'm not saying there's not a remedy. I don't know what it is, and people much smarter than I am seem
people
to wonder how you enforce the results of the Electoral College.
How do you enforce the results of the Electoral College? Now he's calling on the United States military. 7 days in May, great movie was on Turner Classic Movies yesterday. I missed it, but here's James. He's calling on the United States military to line up against President Trump. This is third world banana republic stuff.
I do believe that the military leadership in this country may seriously be taking a look at how to conduct themselves if this man starts making extraordinary, or should I say, extra-constitutional demands of them.
Yeah, maybe you should say that. The military is calling on the military. These people are radicals. These are not American thinkers. These people have gone around the bend. They're crazy, and they cannot be given more power. They have to be reined in, and the party needs to, and the news media, both need to reassess what they're doing with their lives. That is some of the most unhinged, lunatic, fringe stuff I've ever heard from a member of Congress. I mean, again, this stuff is on the internet, but that man is the number three man in the House of Representatives on the Democrat side of the aisle, and they control the House of Representatives. There's an election in November, and they're asking for more power.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show. It's the biggest book of the Trump versus Biden election. But the big TV networks have banned author David Horowitz. They won't talk about him or his new book, Blitz, Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. Despite the media blackout, Blitz is already 3 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list and number one on Amazon. The big media are afraid of Blitz. Mike Huckabee says if everyone read Blitz, Trump would win in a landslide. President Trump tweeted that you must get Blitz. It reveals Trump's secret strategy. Blitz first warned that the left would use a race war to stop Trump. Donald Trump Jr. calls Blitz his dad's playbook for victory. Blitz is at bookstores everywhere. Or check out Newsmax's free offer for Blitz and save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go to blitz411.com, blitz411.com. And don't forget to see David Horowitz on Newsmax TV, America's fastest-growing cable news channel.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458, 800-481-1458, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents. And Doug.
Breathe out and repeat after me. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Your bird is eating my candles.
Your bird is eating my candles.
No, seriously, he's making a mess.
No, seriously.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
Paid for by Tax Advocate Group.
Are you tired of dodging the IRS for back taxes? Are you curious about potential new options available to you because of COVID-19? The coronavirus has forced the government to take extensive actions, making this the most opportunistic time for you to finally restructure or even resolve your tax debt with the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, and are experiencing hardships because of the impact of COVID-19, you could qualify for more aggressive resolution plans with the IRS. Tax Advocate Group has specialists ready to help you determine your eligibility for these programs. Act now before it's too late. This could be your best chance to resolve your tax debt. If left unresolved, your debt will continue to accumulate penalties and interest and eventually be subject to serious and punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. 412-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
President Trump in Ohio yesterday, out on the road, unlike Joe Biden, who's the boy in the plastic bubble. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jim, calling from Charlottesville, Virginia. Jimmy, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Love your show and always have. But got a couple of Secret Service anecdotes on the Bidens. I used to live in the Washington metro area, and my neighborhood was full of law enforcement people. It was great. Had two Secret Service agents, some police officers, county sheriffs, firemen, a great bunch of people. But the female Secret Service officer used to be assigned to the Biden residence when Biden was vice president. And she absolutely hated that assignment and thought about leaving the Secret Service. She didn't say why, but I'm kind of wondering if it was the Cobra syndrome that you have mentioned. And the male Secret Service officer, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but has been assigned to perimeter security in Delaware occasionally, and they have to be on the lookout for the morning wander. And it sounds like an Alzheimer's patient that gets out and wanders, and the family has to call him back, go out looking for him and that sort of thing. And if you've ever been around an Alzheimer's patient, you know, like my dad and my grandmother, they wander off sometimes, and you know, you have to go chasing after them. But that's how it sounds with Biden just recently. And the, there is a lot of truth to the rumors, I think.
Yeah, and the morning wander is what the agent referred to it as?
He leaves the house, and Dr. Jill will be calling, Joe, and they have to go out looking for him because he wanders out of the house and starts wandering on the premises aimlessly. So that's
and the female agent and what you know, Joe Biden is famous for walking around naked, which is not something anybody wants to see, and skinny dipping the vice president's residence swimming pool. The Delaware House apparently has swimming pool too, but it's not just skinny dipping. He walks around inside the house, and furthermore, he only does it when Jill's not around. Maybe they cut a deal. She asked him, and he's taken to the deal. That is great stuff. That's great stuff, Jim. I thank you for calling in and sharing that. We got a lot of wackiness coming.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.